Good evening, everybody. Welcome to National Liberty Alliance's weekly conference call. Today is Monday, August 24th, 2015. We broadcast live every Monday from 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time to midnight. If you're listening over another network and you would like to ask a question or make a comment, our call-in number is 605-562-3140. Participant code is 385 6698. Radio hosts are invited into the queue if they have a question or a comment. If anyone would like to email a question, send to questions, plural, at nationallibertyalliance.org. That's questions at nationallibertyalliance.org. And please don't forget to support our business partners. You can see their banners on the right side of our website, of which the proceeds go to support National Liberty Alliance's efforts to save America. Also, please support National Liberty Alliance by donating $5 a month or more. Click on our donation tab on the top right. And now let's take a look into the mind of God. Tonight's scripture reading is going to be Proverbs chapter 12, verses 1 through 15. 12, 1 through 15. Whoso loveth instruction loveth knowledge, and he that hateth reproof is brutish. A good man obtaineth favor of the Lord, but a wicked man devices will he condemn. A man shall not be established by wickedness, but the root of the righteous shall not be moved. A virtuous woman is a crown to her husband, but she that maketh a shame is as rottenness to his bones. The thoughts of the righteous are right, but the counsels of the wicked are deceit. The words of the wicked are to lie in wait for blood, but the mouth of the upright shall deliver them. The wicked are overthrown and are not, but the house of the righteous shall stand. A man shall be commended according to his wisdom, but he that is of a perverse heart shall be despised. He that despiseth and hateth a servant is better than he that honoreth him himself and lacketh bread. A righteous man regardeth the life of his beast, but the tender mercies of the wicked are cruel. He that tilleth the land shall be satisfied with bread, but he that followeth vain persons is void of understanding. The wicked desireth the net of evil men, but the root of the righteous yieldeth fruits. The wicked is snared by the transgression of his own lips, but the just shall come out of trouble. A man shall be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth, and the recompense of a man's hand shall be rendered unto him. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsels is wise. That was Proverbs chapter 12, verses 1 through 15. Now, that sounds familiar. I'm not sure whether I had read this before recently, because we had been moving a little bit around the Bible, and we just came back to Proverbs. Or maybe just that I've read this numerous times recently. But whatever it is, it's God's Word, and we will grow and learn by it and pray for wisdom through it. Okay, tonight we don't particularly have a topic. We're going to talk a little bit about problems that we've been having. I think a couple of weeks ago we warned that we were in a process of being assaulted by the enemy. And as time goes on, of course, it will get worse. It appears, that we did have some problems over the weekend. A couple of people who are running the IR, not the IRC, the CPS group, decided to, I guess, gain forces with FOGBO. I know one of the individuals has been unhappy for quite some time, wanting to have more authority and more different, just a lot of more access into things and ability to do different things. And we were hesitant, and we're also restructuring things and trying to send out less email. We're going to start sending out really once a week a newsletter or an email type newsletter, keeping it as short as possible, though, just given the basic information on what's going on throughout the National Liberty Alliance on the different days of the week. And any special announcement would also go out that any of the groups might have that we've created here in National Liberty Alliance. We've got a lot of activities going on. And so we're kind of backing off so that we don't send out that many emails. Some people have complained that they get too many emails, and we appreciate that. So we want to try to slow down. Also, we're finding that it's going to start costing us money with all the emails that we've been sending out, because we do have a rather large membership. We may very well be one of the largest liberty groups in the nation. But in any event, and we certainly are one of the most active. But in any event, we had a couple of people who seemed to have tied in with FOGBO, and in our National Liberty Alliance room was CPS this Sunday. All of the leadership of NLA was locked out, and there was a takeover by two individuals who are no longer members. Well, I think they still may be members. I'm not sure whether we took their membership away. We certainly took away their authority, and that was Sheila and Gina. And we're sorry to see Gina go, because we really thought that we were working well with them. We had had a meeting the night before, which Sheila decided that she didn't want to participate with, and left the meeting. It did seem to go rather well with Sheila. I mean, Gina. So things seemed to have gone well on that conversation, although they were a little upset because we were altering a few changes on the CPS lawsuit process. We were actually adding an element. You know, we were trying to do just one large lawsuit. But in order to do one large lawsuit, we'd have to kind of generically figure out what restitution would be for each of the children and each of the adults. I've been saying since day one, my concern is getting the children back with their parents, and also making sure that the children, that when they get back to their parents, that it hasn't been a righteous thing where the children were being injured in some way or another. I do know from experience in these family court systems that I have met very few people, if any, that were actually guilty of the things that they say. It seems that every parent is a child abuser of some kind, so they claim. Men, the fathers, usually are, abusing them this way or that way, and even being accused of sexually abusing the children, even when there is no record of these things, and even psychological reports go different, and still they make these claims. Our concern was trying to do things for people. I've heard quite a few people over the years speak about problems with CPS, and one couple particularly traveling through Texas got three children taken away, and this is some years ago, maybe 4 years ago, and they haven't seen them since. And they had just stopped and had something, eaten one of the restaurants and got food poisoning, ended up in the hospital. CPS took their children and then said they were abusing them because they needed some dental work. And to my knowledge, they're still missing. I don't know if these people are still with us. Hopefully they are, and maybe they're in our process to try to work with them to get their children back. So these are the kind of stories we've been hearing over the years, and it's been heart-wrenching to many of us. I know it has been for me. I've always wished I could do something, and not too long ago, I think we established last night, it was 4 or 5 months ago, on a radio program where in the middle of the program, matter of fact, there was people talking about CPS on the same radio program I was being interviewed on and conversing. We were having conversation. They were going through court battles. We were in the courts. And it dawned on me that, hey, we do have the knowledge now. We can do something. And so that's when we executed our process to go forward with the CPS program. But again, we were looking to do sort of a joint action or one lawsuit that kind of fits all across the nation. But as time went on and realizing that that probably wouldn't work out too well for numerous reasons, first off, even after we finished this lawsuit, there'd be more people, or even during the lawsuit, there'd be more people coming in with the same kind of a problem, and we'd want to do something for them. I realized that we couldn't go and fight the battles in all these states traveling around. We'd be spending all our time fighting these battles because we have quite a few cases. We'd be spending quite a bit of time running around throughout the states trying to find the battles. Plus, we don't have the money. We have no support for doing anything like that. We would need quite a bit of money to travel and stay in hotels and then spend places in long places and then get all these cases done. It would be very difficult to try to kind of hand this case over to just anyone, so we would have to try to, you know, maybe train people. And it just didn't make sense, and we're thinking of another way to do this. And then we realized that, wait a second here, why don't we go forward not just for civil concerns, but let's go for criminal also, which this seemed to make more sense, doing a habeas corpus, and then filing an indictment on these judges and lawyers, which they certainly deserve, because they've destroyed so many homes and so many people and so many children. And there can be no repair for all these people. Someone's bleeding over, by the way. Please hit your mic. So anyway, there is no repair for these children. So we realized if we did a habeas corpus, get the children out, and follow up with indictments, then we can write into the orders the necessary procedures and processes that would be expected concerning this whole situation. We would require a common law jury to be chosen by us. That would be the administrators here working with the Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury across the nation. So wherever the case is, whatever district it would be in, we'd get some membership together who would volunteer to get together and make sure that they bring in a jury that is common law, bring them through the proper orientation. This we can teach people very quickly on. And give them all the necessary tools to come in to make a decision with, first and foremost in mind, restitution. These children, some are injured far more than others, and parents or grandparents, and so on. And so that's the route we decided to go. And now these two people that have been running most of these things just didn't like the idea the way we were going to do this. And they just rebelled. Now, I saw that there were things brewing with one of them, and then when they had their meeting on Sunday, a Fogbo came on, and they spent a lot of time talking with Fogbo and letting Fogbo spread their poison and destruction about NLA and about me and all these terrible things that they, you know, just create out of thin air. And then they gave them advice saying, hey, you know, and they gave them the names of all of our enemies. And I can see from the conversation, these people have been talking. So I presume because of their feeling, whatever it is, that they felt that they were being injured in some way by us or something, or not being treated properly or something, which is not the case. We tried to treat everybody with respect and give everybody a time to talk. And any of the leadership knows that I do listen to them when they call, and the national leadership listens to people, and we correct each other when someone says something out of line, and repentance takes place, because that's a requirement. That's how we run the ship, so to speak. Behind the scenes, repentance is required by any of our leaders when they do something or say something wrong. And if they're not willing to go make things right, then they got to reconsider whether they need to be with us. And so you can ask our leadership, and they'll tell you that's the way we do it. But in any event, you know, there was no reason for them, these people, to get upset with us, but they did, for whatever reasons they think they had to do this for. And they decided to take these people that have already been injured and to decided to run the cases themselves. Neither of them have any background in law and nor common law. They're not qualified to write papers. So when I saw Fogbo connected with them, I thought, well, maybe they're working with lawyers now. But then the lawyers brought up a lot of enemies of National Liberty Alliance, people who have been with us and just refuse to comply with the NLA plan, and they have their own plan and their own agenda, and they want to take things their own way. And we understand that if people have a better idea or another idea, and if it doesn't work with us, well, look it, you know, if you want to be a member, you sign up on the plan. If you don't like the plan and you want to start your own plan, fine. But of course, you know, it's always the same old story. A lot of these people, they come in and then they say all terrible things, and they try to rob the membership, and they take as many people as they can and cause as much chaos and destruction as possible, because that's the way the enemy works. And these people may not necessarily directly be enemy, but they have problems within themselves, driven by ego or whatever the case may be, and therefore they become their own enemy and also become enemies of us for trying to do the work that we're really preying on and trying to do the best we can to do it right. So anyway, they decided to go another way, but they did it in a very horrible way. They seized control of the room, locked out all national leadership, and just went on, I understand, 3 or 4 hours of rant and destruction against National Liberty Alliance. I was told by one person, because we didn't stay for the whole thing, that 75% of what they had to say, Sheila particularly, but also joined in with Gina, that it was just destruction within L.A. and that I was prejudiced, that I didn't like black people or something, I was told, and all these different things, which, of course, really bothered me. But, hey, you know, it is what it is. People, if they can't kill the message or they're trying to run their own ego to take control, they'll say anything. I tried to get through on the phone. I did get some time on the mic after the first hour, but I couldn't get 30 seconds in a row without being just lambasted by Sheila and just going on and on and on. But I tried to get out whatever message I could to the people to give them a lifeline, to let them know National Liberty Alliance is not doing what these people say we're doing. They say we're not going forward with the civil process. We are. We're going not only with that, but with the criminal process. A lot of the things and the problems we found, which we saw the week before we were listening in, we didn't have access to the mic, so we didn't speak. And so we just listened in last week, and we really were there to learn to see how the process was going, because that group was the only group that is allowed to have an open conversation, an open airway with the members. And the main reason was that they wanted to see if they can get, an environment where people can come and tell their problems and they can help each other out. But when I went there last week, it was a lot more than that. It was very little of that, if any. It was really focused in on questions and answers of the what we're doing and how we're doing it. And most of the information they were given was wrong information. It's not what NLA was doing. It's not the way the process works. It's not the way the courts work. And so it's just a lot of bad information. And we were ready now to go forward with writing the papers. And so we made a decision on the national level, quite a few of us, that, okay, we're going to shut down the Sunday night open forum there, and we're going to bring everything over to the Monday night program. And this is where they should be coming, asking questions concerning what's going on with the CPS case and maybe how we're doing certain things or whatever the case may be, along with everything else that we are doing here at National Liberty Alliance. After all, we're on for 3 hours. So we're having a special meeting on Tuesday to really go into detail and give people a lot of time and a lot of focus to answering a lot of their questions. But we will entertain some of it tonight. Matter of fact, when we open the lines, at first we're going to ask for the people, anybody that has CPS questions, to come onto the mic first, and we'll talk with them first and try to give to them whatever we can, a good understanding. Some of these things in the great detail will really be involved for tomorrow's meeting at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here in the Monday night room, but it'll be Tuesday night. Gina and Sheila decided that they are going to do their own court case for these people. Now, if they, whatever it is that they do, they're going to be going into the statutory system. I know that there seems to be suggestion, at least from FOGBO, a connection with some of the people that, as I mentioned a short while ago, are no longer with us, because they kept bringing in the fiction. They kept bringing in the commercial stuff, the UCC stuff, and they wanted to go after judges and put liens on them in rem, which means without due process. Look at, no matter how evil someone is, you got to do this properly. It has got to be. It goes against your own principle. Why would we use evil to fight evil? Why don't we use good to fight evil? Do the right thing. Be patient, take time, and we'll get the job done. And it'll be done right, and God will bless us for it. But anyway, we're not going to go out and put $100 million commercial UCC leans on people and use their, you know, the fiction in order to do these things. And everyone that I know that has been close to successful or successful at this, which not many people, to be honest with you, they're in jail. So clearly that's not going to work very well either. You're in their sandbox, and they're going to get you, and they're going to take you down. And when they realize you don't know what you're doing, they're going to take you down real quick, and you'll be sitting in federal prison. So we don't play around with those things. We've had other people who want to get a little more harder with the government, and they want to set up, another government, a shadow government. Elect your own. Every state would elect their own governor. Matter of fact, they've got a lot of them already elected, and they'd elect. They'd find their own courts. They have it maybe in the back room of Denny's. I mean, look, this is nothing that we're gonna. That's subversion, and those people can and probably will go to jail for subversion against the United States of America. No, we're doing it the proper way. We're using the system, common law, the Bill of Rights, the Constitution. We're going to make sure that these courts are what they can only be, is Article III courts, and they belong to the people. And we're getting a lot of good headway. You know, it takes time. And the key thing, really, we've got 10 papers filed. We've got quarters in session. We're filing habeas corpuses. We're going to be filing things also with a lot of indictments coming up. And so we're really going, you know, moving along. And our membership is growing at a very good, steady pace, not too fast. We wish that it could go a little faster, but that's not our timing. There's going to be a landslide soon. I don't know when. That's all God's timing. But there's no doubt about it. What we are doing is obviously something that will become a landslide once we get out into the general public. Of course, there's a lot of suppression out there because we have the media to contend with who do not want to get our message out because they work for the powers that be, and they're told not to get our message out. But there is a lot of fear, and as Benjamin Franklin said, when the government fears the people, then you have liberty. The government is beginning to fear us. It's been building for a year now, and more so today than ever. We see it in the way they act. We see it in the way they speak about us now. At first, we were a joke to them. Now they take us very serious, and they do everything they can to get us out of their courts. So that's fear, and it's in its proper place, the fear of the people coming in with justice. And so that's what we're doing, coming in with justice. But anyway, these other people, they want to go in a different way. So I don't know which way Sheila and Gina are going to decide, whether they're going to go with lawyers and continue this thing, robbing, of course, the people who are coming in to trust National Liberty Alliance and then bad-mouthing us and telling them that we're not keeping our word and what we're doing and all these other things. But instead, they got this game over there going with bringing them either to lawyers or to the UCC. And there is talk of different leadership, which would be the people, a lot of people that left us, and other people who have been dogging us from day one, people who have tried to get into our doors and seize power from day one. We have a group that come in and told me, you know, quite some time ago, maybe about 6 months ago, that I should stand down. And they're coming in, and they're going to take over National Liberty Alliance, and they wanted to make this guy down in Florida the leader. And, I mean, I don't know where these people come from, but this is the kind of things that's happening and what's going on behind the scenes. You know, we have been approached by the Vatican. The Vatican has given us a call. We spoke with them, and they wanted to be our pals, and we're not going to be their pals. We're the people. We're not going to answer to anyone. We're not going to join anyone. You know, we've had generals call us and different people from all over the place and wanted to join. We had liberty group leaders that wanted to come in. They wanted to fuse their membership with our membership. They just don't understand what we're doing. We're not a group of people in a sense that, is an organization like the normal organization. Our purpose is to get the people in the grassroots and to empower them with the power, the understanding, the authority, the knowledge, and the ability with principles to come up into their counties and be able to take control of the courts through the court system by bringing together grand juries and also trial juries that will operate under common law with the principles of a sense of honor, justice, and mercy. And we are diligently working for that, to drive the principles deep down into the hearts of those who are working with us as partners to do these things, and also to give them the knowledge. We're teaching people how to write habeas corpuses, which is the difficult court process, in my opinion, of any of the procedures that would be filed in the court, is the habeas corpus. And it's got three steps to it. And if you don't follow through with all three steps, you don't get it executed. Few to no people know this. And lawyers don't even know how to do a proper habeas corpus. And it took a lot of research to figure this out and lay it out properly. And we owe a lot to Bill Thornton on that, because his research, we've really worked off of his research and just kind of altered it and changed some things and added some things and made it, we think, much more powerful, and also coming from the perspective of the tribunal, which is the grand jury and the courts. Okay, that's the tribunal. The grand jury is a tribunal in the courts until they pass it over to the jury. So once they make an indictment, they can follow through with all the necessary things that take place. But once they pass it over to the trial jury, then the grand jury's hands are off of it. But it is always the people. It cannot be the judge or magistrate, whatever you want to call them. They are not the decision maker. They are not the decider of we the people. We the people are that decider. Now, we set together a civics course, so we give people a baseline understanding of common law, which is really a pretty deep understanding of common law in our civics course. We've got 3.5 or four lectures by Bill Thornton, and we have a couple of constitutional courses. We have a history course in there, you know, American history, how we got here, documentaries. I mean, we have a tremendous amount of stuff, and it really gives people the background that they need in order to do what we're doing. But then there's more that people need. They need to understand the process and the procedures of the court. They need to understand how it works. They need to know the rules of the court. You know, the federal rules of the court were made a long time ago, and a lot of these things were built off the common law courts prior to it. And, you know, there is a procedure and process, and it's accepted. And we will follow that procedure and process because it's good and it's right. It's orderly. It makes sense. And the Congress back early on it started particularly with a lot of it in the Judiciary Act of 1789, which had a lot of poison in it, but also had a lot of great stuff in it. And so a lot of things came from there, but things worked together pretty early on to get, the rules of the court. And all the rules of the court pretty much work the same, even down into the states. Although the states tweak it a little this way or that way, you can go with the rules of the federal court into any court system, because that is ultimately the law of the land. Okay? But it's okay to go along with some of the state rules and procedures as long as they are not repugnant to the Constitution. And indeed, the rules of the court with the federal system is not repugnant to the Constitution. It serves it very well. So people need to know those things. They need to understand how that works. This is not difficult stuff. You don't need a college education. You need a couple of months of working in these things, and it'll all make sense because it's pretty much all logical. We also know that, you got to have a common law background. You got to understand the principles of common law. You have to understand one of the two great precepts, which is in order for there to be a crime, there must be an injured party. And for every injury, there must be a remedy. And so when we look into the CPS things or any of these other things, there's an injured party there. There must be a remedy for this injured party. First of all, we need to remove them out of the clutches of these evil people to begin with in this system. And then we have to find a way to give them some kind of restitution. And normally money seems to be the way to go about to give them some help. But also we have to give them all of the necessary psychological help that they would take. I mean, everybody needs to get reoriented, and it makes sense to bring people through a reorientation for 30 days. When they have their children back and their children are living in their home, the children, the whole family, should be involved in this because it's the right thing to do. And then any of those people that would like to have assistance, psychological assistance, you know, some counseling, whatever it is that they want, they should have 100% of whatever they want for as long as they need it. And even if they come back 3-5 years later and need more, they should get it. Because the state injured these people. They're responsible for them. They're responsible to do the best they can to repair these people. So that's part of the process that we're trying to put into this system. That was another thing that I know Gina and particularly Sheila didn't want any part of. They didn't want us to bring the orientation. These people had enough of that. They had enough of people counseling them and telling them this and telling them that. Well, look, it would surely be a wrongdoing. I would have a very bad conscience to not make sure that that something is provided for the people, that they can be acclimate back into society with as a family, actually acclimate back into their family life, okay? And that's a help. It's not an assault upon them. We certainly wouldn't use any of the people that the state are using now. We would want people that have nothing to do with the state, preferably never worked for the state, and have serious counselors that really are bona fide counselors and could do the job. And, of course, we would not just let this go on. We would monitor it, and we would work with people in the states of these different districts in order and explain to them and show them and work with them on how they can work with these counselors. And we would require a report from these counselors on a weekly basis, even if there's 20 or 30 of them across the nation. Look, we have 94 district courts, so that would be the most we would have is 94 counselors. But in any event, you know, we would need people in each district and to give some counsel to these people and give whatever needs that they have. But we also want to make sure that they don't get abused by some crazies, you know. You know, in psychology, a lot of nuts are drawn into that system. Just like any kind of an organization where there's a leadership and there's a lot of power and people and things going on and control of people, a lot of egotistical individuals are drawn into that and they try to get to the upper tier of this because they're just so egotistical and they want to lead people. And these are the kinds of people that plague the National Liberty Alliance, and I'm sure they'll plague other organizations and even the psychological group. And so we will watch them like a hawk, and we will ask administrators throughout the nation, and we have them everywhere now in every state. We will ask administrators; they can take turns on this. To go to these meetings and sit in as an observer and listen to see what's going on and give us their thoughts and their ideas. Make sure the right thing is happening. Make sure nobody is abused. And then get the report from these people at the same time. If we're going to do this, we're going to do it right. And we're going to do it with a sense of duty and honor. And we're just going to do it right. Now, this is part of the process that has always been part of the process. Anybody can go back and listen to day one. I spoke of these kind of things, maybe not in as much detail as I'm trying to give today, and we'll hopefully give more tomorrow. You know, we have done what we can, and we do what's necessary. This is nothing new. But now this is something they don't want part of. They want us to get these children back. First of all, they want us to go to the civil side, and now that becomes a money issue. And NLA is not going to touch money. We don't want to touch any money from anybody doing anything in these things. And that's why another reason why we're moving in a different direction, because we now don't have to handle money. Before, I was very concerned on how we would do that, and I would try to put it to a private place where we don't have direct access to it, and it's not ours. It's up to the people, and they have to get it. And then if they wanted to donate to us, that'd be nice. Well, we were working on even a suggestion of I think 20%. But people could do whatever they want. They don't owe us nothing. We're just doing the right thing. That's all we're doing. But in any event, now we don't have to think about money or to deal with it. The jury makes a decision. The award goes directly to the people, and that's it. Lawyers don't get a piece out of this. All of the restitution goes to the people who deserve it, the children particularly, and the parents that have been injured. Sometimes the parents are the grandparents or an uncle and an aunt that took control of the children because maybe their mother and father were incapable for some reason to do so or just didn't want to. I don't know. Whatever the case is, these kind of things happen. we also want to make sure that we change the system in this process, and we have a good plan for that too. And we also want to make sure that people are no longer just taking children away from people and giving them to strangers. If it is necessary because of abuse in a family where the children are being abused and it's just necessary to take the children, well, it certainly should be discussed with the extended family, grandmas, grandpas, aunts, uncles. Pull them all together and talk with them. Give them the support and let them know, you know, these children need to be protected, and it's up to you, the extended family, to take care of that. It's not up to strangers. And they'll agree with this, of course. It wouldn't make any sense if they didn't. And we would give them all the support they would need in order to protect them and help them through that process. And this is the way the state should work. This is how things should work. This shouldn't be an assault upon a family because they have problems. They should be out there helping these families if they do have problems. Most of them don't have problems. They've just been victims of the process and system because there's a lot of money to be made by these judges and lawyers. Huge, huge amounts. There was someone who gave us a list. There's something like 56 or 58 different groups that make money out of the family court system on a daily basis out of all these cases. And so it's all about money. It's RICO. RICO on steroids is exactly what it is. And that's what we're going to go after these people with, RICO and conspiracy and numerous other things, which we'll discuss at another day. And so we want to do the right thing. We're going to do the right thing. And anybody who wants us to go a different way, and when they refuse to comply with what we think is the right thing to do and the honorable thing to do, then they can go do whatever they want in another place. Hopefully they won't injure too many people. So we will be calling all the people that have signed up with us on the CPS process to go through this system to make sure that they want to continue with us. And if they don't, that's fine too. It's just a question. We're not going to have any conversations with these people over the phone. If they're with us and they want us to continue to work with us on this, be at our meetings. They have to come to the Monday night meetings at least for the first hour and a half. This is where you get your questions answered, and we'll give good solid information that you can take it to the bank. If we give you a date, you can take it to the bank. If we give you a target date, you can take that as a target date to the bank. In other words, it's a target date. We may get a little earlier, maybe a little later, but there is the target. And that's pretty much how we would do it, is given target dates. But we want to be pretty sure that are the target dates. And I think in the next day or two, we will be able to give a pretty good target date because we are now forming. We had a big meeting today with quite a few people who are going to be writers of these things, and they're going to start the phone calls, and by the end of this week, they will be writing papers. And so we will be pumping these out very quickly. We'll be doing them by the federal district. We'll go district at a time, kind of just pull them out of hat. We're not going to go through 1, 2, 3 necessarily. We'll just kind of pull the cases together and just go for them. And probably the more people in a district might be the ones we would go for first and then work our way through that way. But however we work it out, we'll work it out. It'll probably take a couple of weeks to get them all done once we start to write them. But we'll be filing them as soon as we get an entire district done. We'll file one district at a time across the nation. People are out there saying we're not keeping our word. People are out there saying we're changing our minds, we're changing the plan. None of that is true. It's not true. It's a lie. We have not changed our plans with the exception of turning around and dealing with the criminal part of it at the same time, which brings us right into a court with juries, and there is no lawyer required because you have a prosecutor involved. And we will make sure that every one of these cases, juries, again, are orientated by us, we the people, to make sure they understand the common law, that they have the decision-making on the facts, the law, and also the restitution and criminal time in jail if they think it's necessary. And that's up to them. It's not up to me. It's not up to you. It's up to the 12 individuals that will be chosen for that job. And we will pray for those people that they make the right decisions. But we will have court watchers in those courts. We will watch these prosecutors. We will not allow a bar attorney to prosecute these cases. And we will watch these and listen. Matter of fact, we were talking about potentially even having a microphone set up connected to a phone lines and maybe run through Skype so that we can monitor these cases. We definitely want to get a recording of them. We want to get them in, and we want to have courtroom observers there, again, watching like a hawk, making sure the judge doesn't interfere, making sure that the prosecutor does their job. So we're working on all that. We've got a lot of ideas, and they're all things that are all workable. These are doable things. And I don't know, for them to resist this would be suicide, but we'll see what happens as we go. It's going to be the clashing of heads. There's no doubt about it. It may take a little while, but look, it's going to happen because it's destined to happen. We're building up momentum. We're building up membership. We're building up credibility. We're building up knowledge. And we're everywhere in every state, and that's why they fear us. They fear us because they know we're not just a small little group in this county or this state over here. No, we are the people of the United States of America. We are from every state of the Union, including Alaska and including Hawaii. We are everywhere, and they fear that, and rightly so. We know that they're listening into our meetings, so they're hearing everything I'm saying right now, and they could take what we're saying to the bank. And so, especially the courts that are, dealing with cases of ours, there's reports going back, and those people individually, particularly, know. There's judges out there that know that indictments are coming on them. They know who they are, and I'm sure the reports go back to them. And I hope it goes back every week. We're coming, and you're going to jail. You've done evil, and you sold your soul is what they've done. They've gone and taken an oath, and then they ignore the oath and sell their sell themselves for money. It's all about money, RICO. So, anyway, I'm going to end it there, and when we open up the mics, people will have questions, and we'll give our answers. We don't run away from any question that anybody might have. So, but before we get into Gary, do we have any questions over the email?
We do.
Okay. Well, before we get to that, I first want to bring on Paul. You should see Paul out there, Paul Silva. Paul gave us an update last week, and every word he spoke came to being this Friday and Monday, and he has more to share with us. And so if someone can unmute Paul. Now, you'll see him in as Paul. I think I got him in as Paul Silva. But he's coming out of Long Island. Trying to think, 718, is that Long Island maybe? I don't remember. But anyway, before he speaks, we know the hard times are coming. The question is how hard is the fall? Is it going to be a soft landing or a hard landing? If we're not prepared, and our sheriffs aren't prepared, and the people aren't prepared, and we're working day and night to prepare them. If they're not prepared, it's going to be a hard fall. But if they're all prepared, and people are prepared, it will be a soft fall. So we have to, get it done. We got a open mic out there. I don't know who's open mic. Gerard, Gary, somebody, please. Mute your mics because we're getting sounds over the lines here. Okay, let me let Paul. I'm going to give Paul 2 minutes or so. He's going to fill us in on what's been going on and maybe give us maybe some more information on insight or what may be happening. I don't know what kind of a crystal ball he has, but, of course, it's a good educated guess. Paul has been in this business, I think he said, for 35 years. He's got his fingers on the pulse, and he's connected to a lot of people across the nation with gold and silver and big connections. So, Paul, you got the mic for a couple of minutes. Are you here? Did you unmute him? Gary?
I think I unmuted the right one. It's Long Island, New York, Paul.
There you go. I think that's him. Yes, Long Island Paul, maybe. I didn't call him Silver Paul, Long Island Paul. Paul, you got the mic.
Is his number ending in 2123?
I don't know. What's his first three digits?
631.
That's Long Island.
Is it 631?
Yeah, 631 is Long Island.
Wrong guy.
Wrong, Paul?
Hey, listen, okay. While you're finding him, I'm going to make an announcement. Shake and Wake is back on the air today. This is their inaugural rebooting. So anybody that liked their program that listens there, and they also text us questions throughout the program. So I just want to welcome Rick and Annie and Shake and Wake and all their people back here to National Liberty Alliance. It's good to have you back.
Okay, I see Long Island, New York, Paul, 631. I think I got him. Let me see.
I unmuted Paul, him. He never spoke.
Paul, is that you? I just unmuted you? Is that him? Well, I got Long Island, New York, Paul.
That's him.
That was the wrong guy?
No, he just didn't talk, that's all. Maybe his mic's not working. Maybe he stepped away. He didn't expect it.
Well, John,
it.
Why don't we do a couple questions in the meantime?
Okay, meanwhile, look around to see if there's another Long Island Paul. We'll leave him, I'll mute him, and we'll try and unmute him in a short while. But go ahead, let's go with the questions.
Okay, this question is from the guy that actually recruited me into the NLA. He has an IRS problem that they're going back a few years on him in harassment, claiming he owes money when he doesn't. And now they're putting an audit on him, and he's wanting to know if there's a way he can escape this harassment.
Yeah, you know, remember, the IRS is a private corporation. They're not government. The problem is they're above the government, and they control our government, and that's a major problem. It's an organization run by the elite. If you're going to go battle with them, you better know what you're doing. And it's a very dangerous thing, and you got to know how to deal with those people. And even knowing how and even understanding the court system doesn't guarantee you're going to win against them. But until you get into the courts, okay, there's really nothing you can do because they're not the government. That's one of the main reasons. There's two things you could do. You wait till they take you into court. As soon as they take you into court, they serve you with court papers, you know they're planning to put you in jail. And that's when we can do a habeas corpus, as soon as the court gets involved. Until then, we can't do anything on that level. Now, one of the things you might be able to do, but you have to have knowledge, and you can sue them before they go after you. And so what I did when they came after me is I immediately, they gave me a 7-day notice. They always give you a 7-day notice. We're going to lean you in 7 days and blah, blah, blah. They actually did it in 5, but I acted quickly. And I immediately went and I opened up my own court of record, federal court, and I went after the 2 IRS agents. I went after the commissioner. I sued all 3 of them. I sued the sheriff, and I sued the county clerk. I sued the county clerk because the county clerk received papers without proof of due process, and that's against the law. And that's violating my unalienable rights. I sued the sheriff so it would tie his hands from doing anything. You know, he couldn't go seal the properties. He's part of the court case. And I also sued my banks, okay? The only banks that understood what I was doing, because I actually wrote it up in there, that if the banks didn't betray me and give them information and give my money and all this other stuff, as long as you don't do that, I'm not pursuing it any further. But you're part of this lawsuit, and you get involved with that stuff, I'm taking everything I can from you. And I was pretty clear in my paperwork on that to them. And so the credit union bank that I belong to, they understood it. And they didn't even send a lawyer. They didn't spend no money on it. And, of course, I didn't hold them liable. Now, I didn't have to hold anyone liable. This was a protective mode I took in order to prevent them from seizing my property. And then I took them into court. I don't want to get discussion too much more than that. But the bottom line is, if you're going to go fight these people, you need to know how to do it. And it's not an easy thing to do. My suggestion is, as hard as this is to do, is play ball with them until we can change things. That's my suggestion, because they're a dangerous group of people to be dealing with.
Yeah, he is a very savvy dude.
But if they do take you into the court, we can do something, and we can do something right. And you should move very quickly. As soon as you get court papers, you need to get us quickly. Okay, so that's the best we could do for the IRS.
All right. Another question that came in, I'm going to combine two together since they're kind of in the same vein. Why the change from IRT to IRC, and is there a queue, and how long is the queue for a habeas corpus?
Okay. Well, the habeas corpus, there is no really timing at this moment. Matter of fact, we're going to be going through all of the files and everything, which maybe we'll talk about this. Anybody who's got a case going other than CPS should also come to tomorrow night's meeting, and we'll discuss that there too, okay, because it all works together. But, no, we're hitting up right now. We're doing all – because there's a lot of problems with the paperwork, with the what was brought into the IRC group. Well, first of all, it was IRT, and that was – I think that name came maybe through Greg, or when Greg was running that group, they came up with the IRT, which really the T was for team. But it should have been C because it's committee. And, you know, I just didn't like the feel of the team. And when we made the big change and started to get a tighter rein on that group and participate more with teaching that group, we moved more properly, in my opinion, to committee. So investigate, the I is investigative, okay, response committee. Again, they had investigative response team. I just think investigative response committee is just much more professional or much more appropriate. That is the group. We've always known that that is the group that can get us into trouble, so we spend a lot of time with this group. It's the soul of NLA. It's the heart of NLA because it's the group of people working in the courts and learning the court systems. And the CPS group was the same. And that was one of the other problems because we were moving the CPS group under the wing of the IRC, which is where it belongs. It never belonged outside of it. We were going to leave a tab where it is anyway. You can get CPS and get directly into it, but they would be a subcategory to IRC. Sheila particularly, and I presume Gina, I know Sheila voiced her opinion on this very strongly, that why should we put them under control, under someone's thumb? And she just didn't stay around for the meeting to know. She just complained and left. And that was the private meeting we had before the Sunday night call. But, you see, the reason we were doing that is because they need to work closely with the people who are writing the papers. Okay, and, you know, Gina and Sheila have nothing to do with writing the papers. Sheila really was never appointed as she made herself a committee person, which we told them there's only one committee chairman. That's all there is. There's not two. Every group, you are working with the media. But she had skin in the game, so to speak, because she had a problem years ago with the CPS, and she wanted to work with Gina. Gina accepted her. And I said, okay, but, you know, she ended up running the room, which she shouldn't have done. It was not for her business. That should have been Gina. But in any event, she didn't like the idea, and then Gina went along with her, unfortunately. Gina was a good individual for us. She'd done a lot of great work. Paperwork looks pretty good. The filing system we set up, they followed to the letter. Everything worked out, seemed to work pretty well. We haven't gone through all the paperwork yet, so we don't know how well the paperwork is. The key part to us, of course, is the affidavits. So when we looked at a couple, and they were well done, so we commend her for that. That, I think, is mostly Gina that made sure this happened correctly. So Gina is a great loss for us. And I'm sad that she just got caught into the situation with Sheila and also Fogbo and potentially other leaders that have been trying to take over National Liberty Alliance, some of them since our inception almost, because we grew very quickly. But in any event, we'll see how that all goes on that. But that's what we're working on now. We're going to move through that quickly. Now, the paperwork on the other end didn't work out as well, and we're going through that. It's kind of a mess, to be honest with you. And I would say anybody who's got paperwork in the system, get a hold of Catherine. Her number's up on the IRT team, the IRC, and get a hold of Catherine. and make sure that you're in the system, and if we need something, we'll ask you for it. Whatever you've sent us before, I'm sure you have a copy of, and if we need it again, send it to us. So we're reconstructing that. I would like to say within the next week or two, I'd like to be writing some of those cases. We do have one case we're going to be writing that's in that system. We also have a whole bunch of course, the CPS cases we're going to be working on for the next couple of weeks. I think I could say in a month, 4 weeks, maybe less, we will be caught up to the point when the case comes in, we can probably respond within a week. So that's where our goal is. We're shooting for that kind of a goal. I think it's achievable, and we'll do the best we can to reach that goal.
Okay. Another question goes a little bit more on my direction. It's how do I join the Health and Wellness Committee? And the Health and Wellness Committee web pages are going to be developed in the next, you know, very short bit of time. We are in the process. We had created IRC first because they were a priority, followed extremely closely, more like 1A and 1B, with CPS. But we're going to have a number of committees along with health and wellness that are going to be under the umbrella of privacy and freedom of choice, which we don't have. We have a very contaminated food supply. We have a contaminated air, contaminated water, and we're not given much choice. And our freedoms to choose, even outside of the standard pharmaceutical or surgical mandates of our current medical system, and I'm doing finger quotes for medical, and we have a number of people that are going to be stepping forward. We have, you know, Mary in Pennsylvania with some holistic and naturalistic cures. We even have an Indian shaman that's going to have Indian cures that we're also looking at. We're going to be addressing MMS and a number of other things. But the site will be open, will be opening soon, and I will be sending out emails on these, since these are going to be the open committees. So you'll be getting notices of their release. I'll include the link where you can then click a button to join. And that's how it goes. And thank you for the question.
Okay, thank you. Let me just add something here on the, since we're talking about groups, we're also kind of cleaning up the media group, and I know a lot of people had left the media group that were very involved in maybe videos and Facebook and other things, but they were overwhelmed by some personalities over there that we should have been paying a lot more attention to. But we hadn't been, and so we're somewhat at fault there too. But those people who really know how to get the word out, either in the news, whether it be the paper or the TV or the radio or even internet or Facebook or tweeting or just emailing YouTube and whatever else we have out there, we need as many people as possible to step up and get involved and work together. We're going to put a committee chairman on board with that. But they will have nothing. That chairman will have nothing to do with interfering with the creativity and whatever it is that they want to do. The only thing that the chairman will be responsible, particularly to make sure happens, that once something is done, whether it's a YouTube, and even before they do the YouTube, they can kind of give us a sketch or something if they want. So we give them the approval that they really are representing what we're doing and not misunderstanding things. And I'll give you, for instance, of a big misunderstanding, and I just didn't realize it. And to me, it was just a normal, logical thing because of my experiences in the courts and the system. We put together the system, you know, when we ask people the questions to get the answers we need in order to do a case for someone, one of the questions was to fill in for a next friend. But if the person that is not incarcerated but is in danger of being incarcerated or is out on bail, they don't need an ex-friend because they know they are the person. They're the ones that should do all the paperwork. They're the ones that need to write the affidavit, and we need to work the paperwork out with them. But we've had people who are not in jail but facing jail, and they were told they had to go out and get an ex-friend, and they didn't understand why, and rightly so, they didn't understand why. They got one, so we got a lot of people with ex-friends that don't need them. Now, everyone should have a potential next friend in case you did get arrested for something. You know, if anything happens to me, Gerard's my next friend, and he's going to make sure the paperwork's in to get me out, vice versa. So everybody should buddy up with someone. Also, we want to encourage more building and working with partners so that anybody who really has a strategic position and they have a lot of expertise in a particular area, they should be training someone alongside them to take their place. You know, should they not be available for a time or they start to get too busy, because we're going to get more and more busy and we're going to need more and more trained people. So everybody should have sort of a protege. They should have someone that they're mentoring into the you know, the skills of whatever it is that they've got. And they should also, of course, be looking for people with the potential of being able to develop those skills or have some of those skills already developed. And so the potential is there. But that doesn't mean the people who don't have that can't participate, because everyone needs to participate. And remember, you know, in all things, there's always a beginning. We begin somewhere. You know, when I first went into the construction business, I was on a very small level, and I remember we were doing some building decks. We had to build a deck, and I had never really built the stairs before and had to figure that out. It took me 2 or 3 days to find a print and figure out how it worked to build a set of steps. I was very young. It was in the beginning, and I was a learning stage. But that's how you learn. You learn, and then you go to the next step. And then I ended up you building huge, you know, literally built out complexes of apartments and buildings and different things. You know, you have to start off somewhere, and it's the School of Hard Knocks is the best school to go to. Hopefully you have someone that can mentor you. One of the things I was blessed with when I went into the construction business is that I had met up with a bunch of elderly people, you know, people much older than me. They weren't all that old at the time. I thought they were old. Maybe they were 50, 60 years old. But they're in the business, successful contractors. And, you know, you meet them on a job site, and you get to talk to them, and you become friends with them, and they take a liking to you. And, you know, I was a kid back then myself, so I got mentored by these people. I learned from these people. And that's how we all have to do this. This is how you learn everything. But in any event, these are the things we have to work together. Media, we need to build up. We need to build up quick. The media is not working the way we intended. We're not really getting the word out through the media system. So we need a leader for that. Do we have a leader for media right now, Gary?
We don't have anybody on the boards, and we're
so
really
we need
looking.
We need a chairman, right?
Yeah, we need someone really that actually does the media.
Right, we need a chairman for that, and then we need people with expertise in different areas, whether it's video making and whether it's dealing with Facebook or tweeting getting the news out onto the web or whatever. So anyway, please, let's get involved in that area. But go ahead. What else we got?
I got something.
Go ahead.
There's been lots of rumblings around the nation about our sheriffs. Apparently our sheriff mandamuses and things have been getting around, and some guys are actually reading it and they're getting excited and they're chomping at the bit to do something. And we have numerous sheriffs sprinkled throughout the country that have made statements that they're willing to escort us into court when the time comes, and that they will arrest the judge that stands in the way of the common law grand jury. Now, that's very encouraging. And look, at the first one of these we do, that's got to be like a rock show. And so I've been holding back somewhat because we need to get ready for this. Whatever sheriff decides to step up to the plate and do this, and some of them want to know that, you know, what by what authority. And so I don't think that it's fair to just take a sheriff and say, yeah, come with us, let's arrest this judge. You can't send the sheriff up the hill with his sword out. When he turns around, he's got nobody in his county behind him. That sheriff needs the people as much as the people need him. So we want a sheriff that has good support in his community, that he has that he's a common law sheriff and he knows what that means. You know, I mean, we have sheriffs that are constitutionalists and they claim to be constitutionalists, but they never took our civics course. I'll bet you if they took our civics course, they would have a new appreciation for what it means to be a constitutionalist. I always thought I knew the Constitution. I grew up, and I grew up when they were still teaching it in the school to the extent that they did. And when I took Bagnarik's course, I found out that I didn't even have the essence of it in me. Once I took that course, it wasn't really like a chapter and verse kind of a course, but it was a course that really laid out what the principles were. And once you get that in your chest, you can, at that point, you really can die for it because you understand what that freedom is. You understand, you know, what it means to be an American and what it means that you have unalienable rights, you know, that no man can take away. So that was one of my first steps. Later on, you get into more of the chapter and verses, you know, the sections and these just the important ones, because some of those you got to be able to quote in the courts and in the paperwork. So these sheriffs need to really bone up. I haven't had any of them call me yet. I tell people you need to send this paperwork to the sheriff. You need to sit down and talk with your sheriffs. Everybody in every county should be talking to their sheriff. And you should find out if he's a common law sheriff. And if he's not, then you should encourage somebody who will run on that platform, because I think it's a very powerful platform to run on. We have there's a bunch of sheriffs up in Northern California and in Oregon that are part of a constitutional movement. They refuse to do any of this traffic stuff. I don't know if they know about us, but they're, you know, somebody up there should certainly introduce them to us. But we're not going to latch on to a sheriff unless he latches on to us, because I don't think it's fair to have him stick his neck out when he doesn't fully understand what he's doing. I mean, some of these sheriffs, I know that they have the Constitution like I had it when I took Bagnarik's course. I know that they do, but they need just a little bit more than that before they start arresting federal judges. And so they need to call us. They need to get in touch with us. We'll give them some reading. We'll talk to them. We'll vet them. We'll make sure. And then they need to vet their buddies. They need to vet their accompanying counties so it can spread. And I think it will, and it's starting to, as well as the marshals. There's some rumblings in the marshals, and we actually have a couple of marshals that have reached out to different people because they know there's corruption, although the marshals are probably – more towards the federal court. See, a sheriff, I believe, can arrest anywhere. It doesn't matter. He can arrest a federal judge. It doesn't matter. Marshals were generally put in for the federal, you know, districts. I don't know if, you know, I know they use them in lots of places statutorily. Now, I don't know what their authority is, like, on a town level, let's say. You know, I mean, they would have, and I guess if it was a violation of unalienable rights that would go to the federal anyway, they could arrest also. So we could stretch that probably, but that's something we need to discuss with the marshals and the sheriffs. We all need to be on the same page. And so I don't want to see a sporadic bunch of stuff in this state and that state. What has to happen is the one state that does it is going to carry all the other ones. And I don't care if it's in Oregon or if it's in Utah or if it's in New York or where it is. It doesn't matter. That's the first domino. And we should all get behind that. I mean, I'll get on a plane and scrape whatever money together that it takes for me to get there, because I think it's that important. I want to be there when it happens. And we're gonna have it advertised. And this is why we need to build our media up. We need all these other things to come in, because once you got a sheriff that's willing to uphold the law, the common law, guess how busy we're gonna be. You know, because we're going to get a
paper hanger.
Yeah, I'm telling you. And so my fear is the fear of success. Let's get our sheriffs on board. Let's get talking to them. Have them call John or myself if they have any questions. We definitely want to sit down and have a dialogue with them, maybe even face-to-face or at least on Skype where we can talk. and lay the groundwork so that he's very comfortable at what he's doing, and he knows where he can, what he can rest in. You know what I mean? So this is happening. It's happening right before your very eyes, whether you realize it or not. This is history in the making, and it's hard when you're making history to see history. You know what I mean? We kind of go through the motions, and we get up and do the work, and we get on the phones, and look, we're doing the same thing our forefathers did. They came to fisticuffs over the Constitution. That's the way it was. They didn't stop and think, oh, people are going to be talking about me for the, you know, for the next 200 years. That wasn't in their brains. What was in their brains was, how are we going to do this, and who's going to do that? And there was personalities, and look at everything we're going through at National Liberty Alliance. Guess what? Our forefathers went through it before us. And it's now our job to take what they called that experiment, because they did call it an experiment. It's never been done before. And so now it's up to us to take it to the next level. Because they did say, hey, just look at the way they wrote things. Whenever it becomes time that a people should rise up and throw and break the political bands that bind us, they knew that this would happen. I mean, Jefferson said, you need a uprising every 10 years, you know, the Tree of Liberty. So they had no doubt about it, because they lived through the worst of it. And right now we have begun to live through the worst of it ourselves. Look at what they're doing to us. It's horrible. Just like it was horrible for the colonists, it's horrible for us now, and it's time. So everything is in its time, and now is the time. So we just have to hold this together and get it in the everything in the right order. We don't want to put the cart before the horse. We want to do it the right way. And things are looking up. This is an encouraging message right now. I'm telling you that there's law enforcement out there who are starting to see the light, that are starting to change, that are willing to do the right thing, and the only thing that they're lacking is their people. They need their people. You know, a sheriff is an elected official, so he's a political animal, and so when he goes up there to do something, you know, he could be committing political suicide and personal suicide at the same time. We can't let that happen. So whatever county, whatever sheriff decides to do this and is committed to it, we're going to make sure that he has people that live in his county that support him, good people that write letters to their editors, good people that are involved in local government. They need to support these guys, because liberty's only going to return when we return it to our own homes and streets. And this is grassroots. You know, these local courts where they're, and actually, you know, most of the tyranny is locally bound. You know, I mean, yes, we know Obama's doing this and that with the banking and all this, but really, the thing that really, really affects us in our everyday life, never mind the dollar isn't worth anything, that affects everybody, but the fact that you get hauled off into court and they're pulling you in without probable cause, and you're getting these fines, and you're getting thrown in jail, and you have to bail yourself out, and sometimes this is the straw that breaks the camel's back for people, because of the fact that Obama made the money worthless, and now you got this worthless money, you can't afford to even bail yourself out of jail. You see, this is all part of their plan, and we need to break that cycle that they've got us into. And the way you break the cycle is, like these sheriffs up in Northern California, they're not going to enforce the statutes. They're not going to do all this traffic baloney down on people. You know how many people they get in jail through traffic stops? It's ridiculous. And I read a statistic that said that now localities, municipalities and localities, their yearly budgets, the police and the courts now provide 30% of their local budgets. Well, that's ridiculous. 30%, and they didn't even have this income not that long ago. It was unheard of. And now 30%? Even a real small town, their annual budget's around $4,000-$5,000 in a small town. Well, what the heck is 30% of $4,000? I mean, this is what our courts are bringing in a little backwater town of 5,000 people. That's unconscionable, unbelievable, and it's a very big drag on society and the people. And what it's doing is it's facilitating a judicial, not a judicial, I'm sorry, a a prison industrial complex. They're making money all along the whole path. So, you know, we switch from Russia, the boogeyman, the Soviet Union being the main enemy number one, and we had a military industrial society because everything was done for the military, mutual assured destruction. We have lots of factories and stuff to produce technology, you know, to kill people and keep them at bay and make sure that we were better than them. And so now that went away. The boogeyman Russia went away. Okay, so they created Al-Qaeda, and believe me, they created them. And now what we have is we have a prison industrial complex, because now we're going to have, you know, the people in jail and the people that watch them. That's their dream, you know. And believe me, you can see it. I mean, and I know of people who were prison guards in the correctional system that jumped onto the other side of the bars because they got pulled over and something happened. The next thing you know, the guy that was guarding the prisoners, he's in there with them because they don't care. This is a snake eating its tail. But anyway, I don't want to get long on it. The main thing is talk to your sheriffs. Make sure they see our paperwork. Have them call us because they're out there and they're starting to see our stuff, but they need to make the connection in. We're not going to go ahead with anybody unless they make contact and we actually talk to them and we vet them and we educate them. So that's the goal, and I'd like to see lots and lots of them banging on our doors. We certainly have a good start, so let's keep it going. Good job, folks. Thanks.
Thank you, Gerard.
Okay.
Hey, Jonathan, make this the last question because it's a really
Before we do that, just real quick, I want to, you know, sort of dovetail in here something about the sheriffs. We did start working on a video, a 15-minute video clip, specifically designed for the sheriff and designed to lay out in the video as simple and as quickly as possible his power and authority, and then, of course, direct them to a place where they can really learn about their power and authority and even take a free civics course, which would be on our website. But anyway, that's something in the workings. We haven't put a lot of time into it yet because we've been so busy with other things, but hopefully maybe in the next week we can get back to that and get that video done and up, and that may assist us. But go ahead now, Gary.
All right. I'm going to read the question verbatim because I love the way it's written. Realizing that you are busy, could you make every attempt to put up habeas corpuses, templates for mortgage foreclosure, child protection issues, IRS tax issues? I am anxious to try my hand at all of these as soon as possible. I do have some people with some of these issues, and I would like to help as much as I can. And I thought, John, you'd like the question after the phone call we had today where the people were laughed out of court.
Right. Yeah, well, this is already done, by the way. With the exception of the IRS, we do have all the papers written. They are already up online on nationallibertyalliance.org, but only a select few people can see that yet. You know, the IRC, as I mentioned before, is a very critical part of what we're doing. It's the place where we're really training people what to do. And we're being very careful in who we allow into the IRC. We will pretty much allow anybody into the IRC unless we suspect that they may be someone who's coming in to try to damage us. Some of the requirements are a phone number that works. If someone joins the IRC and they tap in and we go and give them a call, because we're going to welcome everyone through the phone. And if that phone doesn't work, then we'll send them an email. If they don't respond in the email to give us a phone number so we can call them, they're not getting into IRC. We'll let them know that they've been declined. They can't come in. So we want a working telephone. We want a working email, which, by the way, you can't get into National Liberty Alliance without a working email. There are a few things people can do that are slick, but in any event, we're not going to discuss that. But, you know, you have to have and you also have to have an address. If we don't have those things in the background, you can't get into the IRC. And it's just because we have to protect what we're doing. Now, we have people who may use the papers that we've got. We did have, we filed one recently, and we used to have Stephen Dean's paperwork up there. We pulled all that down. I'm pretty sure we pulled all that down. I'll have to double check. And the reason being is, look, it, if you don't know how to do a habeas corpus, do not attempt it. You're not only going to damage yourself, but you're also damaging the movement, what we're doing. And certainly none of the states should be doing, you know, with state seals, none of those people should be doing a habeas corpus. And no one should do it unless they're trained to do it. We don't want to blow out. This is our access into the court, so we don't want to blow that out. So we want to be very careful in who we're training and what we're doing, how we're going forward. And as soon as someone betrays us in the slightest bit, okay, just betrays us in the slightest bit once, they're out of it. And and we won't even allow them to participate with us on any of these committees. They could just be a member, and that'll be it. And if they really are someone who's done some damage to us, we'll remove their membership also. But, you know, we want to be careful. If people don't know what they're doing, don't do it. If you think you can file, and this is one of the problems, people don't understand how to file the habeas corpus and who to send it to. If you think you're going to file it in the court and get some judge to approve it, I got a bridge down in Brooklyn to sell you, because it'll never happen. No judge will ever, ever, ever allow you to do a habeas corpus and get through the system. They are the doorkeepers, and they keep it closed. But there are two ways to do it. One way, if you want to learn, you can go out to 1215.org, which is Bill Thornton's site, and he's got some paperwork and different things. And again, you're going to have to do homework. Don't think you could just go look at the habeas corpus and go forward with it and do it without understanding common law, understanding the follow-up on it. There must be first a petition for the habeas corpus, then there's got to be the habeas corpus itself, then after they default, there has to be a filing of the default, and then a decision and a memorandum by somebody, okay? And with us, we coming in with the most powerful position you could be in, and that is as a tribunal being connected with the grand jury. So when you put in a habeas corpus, you send it to the grand jury, and the grand jury approves your habeas corpus, and it writes the habeas corpus and sends it in through the court, through all the system, and files it in the court. 3 days go by, and then the necessary default papers have to be written, and a memorandum of decision has to be written, and it's got to be filed, and then a follow-up to make sure things happen. We do give them quite a bit of grace time because, you know, we want to get the proper results, and they don't act quick enough because they're too busy figuring out how they can avoid this habeas corpus and how they can get around the corner to it. And until they come to terms and realize, and that might take them a couple of weeks, and to realize that they're stuck between a rock and a hard place, and they may go to jail if they play games with it, then they're just going to let it go and release the people from jail. In every case we've done that has been successful, you know, it is something that usually takes a few weeks to get the people out, which it should be 3 days, but again, we'll live with a couple of weeks because we're giving them the time to digest it before we react. But they can rest assured. Any judge who doesn't do his duty, and we're doing all this on the federal level, and we're putting the chief judge on notice, he is the guy that we are going after. He is the guy, the chief judge, in each district that's going to be responsible to oversee, to make sure that the law is obeyed. And if the law is not obeyed, he's one of the first guys we're going after, and we're going to find out why, by what authority is he not enforcing the law. And we'll, of course, go after the judge or whoever else is involved trying to break this law. The federal judges understand a lot more than the state judges. They're a little more careful, and they're not big risk takers. They actually are big risk takers, but they feel very confident. But if they don't feel confident, if they don't feel secure, they're not going to do it. So anyway, if you don't know what you're doing, you're only going to hurt yourself. If you need a habeas corpus, come to us. And we'll work through the habeas corpus and set it all up for you and with you. And we will do it from the most powerful position possible, and that is the tribunal, the grand jury themselves. They cannot resist them. I don't see any way that they think they're going to get away with it. They're going to go to jail. And we will not rest until they do go to jail if they try to interfere with the most important judicial process in our system, the right to face your accusers and have them swear in a court of record everything that they have to say about you. And, of course, it's all lies, so they're not going to do it. And they also will never swear on anything because they're cowards to begin with, and they know they're frauds. So, anyway, I suggest, unless you're really astute, you need to know the process and procedures of the court. You need to understand your enemy. You need to understand common law, and you need to have some experience in the courtroom. All of these things are necessary in order to really be able to go out and perform this correctly. And it's the best I can tell you. So come to us. We'll do it with you and for you, and we'll get it accomplished. Anything else?
That's it.
You know, that old saying, you know, don't try this at home, you know? Okay, let's try Paul again, see if we can get him. Paul from Long Island, 631 number, you have been unmuted. Can you hear us, Paul?
Do you hear me?
We can hear you now. You were away for a while there, but go right ahead.
No, I wasn't. I couldn't hear you, and I'm still not sure which phone I'm speaking to you through.
Well, you're speaking on the right one because it's coming in clear.
728 number.
You're speaking to us 728 number, yes.
Okay, you hear me now?
We can hear you now. You sound like a Verizon commercial. How's that?
I'm sorry, but I heard you last time. I heard you unmuting me. I heard all you guys. Nobody heard me. I don't know what happened.
Right. All right, well, okay. Go right ahead. Just to let you know, I'm going to run because I want to hear this message myself, but I'm going to run to get a bottle of water. But go right ahead.
I just did the same thing. I'm a step ahead of you. Hi, everybody. John just told me to take a couple minutes tonight because there's been so many developments, obviously, in the financial world, and this affects all of us. He mentioned that I brought up some stuff last week. It's not that I'm a rocket scientist, it's that the writing was on the wall for all of this. The yuan was devaluated, the Chinese economy is in horrible trouble, as is the Chinese stock market. It sold off 8.5% today alone. And the idea of devaluating the currency was to try to halt this sell-off, but apparently it has not worked. And China has become so big and such a global influence and, of course, a tremendous influence on this country, unfortunately, but that's reality, that they're taking us down with them. That combined with the fact that I had mentioned that any time oil's ever gone anywhere near $40 or lower, that's always taken the market down dramatically. And so we've had this little perfect storm here. Oil was coming. Once the yuan was devaluated, that writing was on the wall, showed you how much trouble they were in. How does this affect all of us? Well, you know, even if you're not in the stock market, if you're in the stock market, I don't think this is over. Obviously, energy stocks, you know, and wishful thinking was get out of them last week. Anything that's energy dependent, on the other hand, after the sell-off's over, you might want to look at, because energy is going to be cheap. Airlines, as an example. But right now, there's been a tremendous commodity sell-off because of China. They're the largest consumer of them. Gold and silver have held up very, very well. But there's been a little sell-off because when you trade on paper, because remember, these are just paper trades, they're selling what they have to cover other positions and such. The physical market on silver and gold are a whole new ballgame from the paper market. I've mentioned before that the amount of paper they trade, they couldn't deliver on 2% of it if somebody actually wanted physical delivery. There's been quite a grab on for silver all over the country. You'll see a lot of out of stock on lots of items from everybody. The grab is on for silver. People who are fearful, people who don't want to wait until it's too late, they're buying like crazy. Gold has, like I said, hung very, very tough in price. If there was ever a reason for gold to go down, it should have went down when they devalued the yuan, and it didn't. It actually went up, and that tells you something. Gold is at this relatively speaking low price. Gold is strong. For those of you who can, you might want to consider some gold. Okay, that little silver dime that cost $1.45 right now. If silver was, let's say, $70 an ounce, would be $8.50. Well, if that happens, gold's going to be $5,000-$6,000 an ounce. They make little gold coins called $5 gold eagles made by the U.S. Mint. They weigh only 1/10 of an ounce each. They're my favorite coin because I love small sizes. God forbid you have to use it. You can buy these little gold coins right now if you want some gold for $145 each. And if gold pops up like that, 1/10 of an ounce, if it only goes to 4,000, it's going to be $400. These metals are to be taken advantage of while the commodity sell-off has kept the prices of metals low. It's not something that's going to stay here forever. So I think what people should be doing is, if you have a stock portfolio, I'm hoping that you already took a nice hard look at it. If not, do so. If you have a lot of money in the bank, that's not the wisest place to be keeping it. I want to point out gold and silver, are when things are the worst, is when they are the best to own. It's that simple. So you want to build, you want to work on that war chest, and you want to start now. No ifs, ands, or buts about it at this point, okay? And please, I made a point on the NLA website. That phone number on there, I have an 800 phone number. I have girls to answer the phone. I have salespeople. I purposely listed my private phone number. So take advantage. I have no problem with educating people. I will spend the time with you. Okay, if when you call me I don't have it, I will call you back. I will promise I will do so and spend the time. Okay, so if you have any questions about any of this, any at all, take advantage of the fact that I'm here for the NLA. I'm an NLA member and an NLA donator, and I really believe in this cause. I don't want to see any of us left out, okay? This is just a time bomb. We all know that. So work on trying to get yourself some of this stuff, and work on trying to do it while the price is low, quite frankly, okay? And it's more affordable than you think for those of you, everybody. I do want to point out, you have to maintain some kind of emergency fund. We all understand that. You have to have some cash around. That's reality. We're hoping cash isn't useless, and we're just going to be looking at hyperinflation, which will drive the silver and gold through the roof. By the way, one other thing I want to point out is that with this currency devaluation, ultimately what is most likely to happen is a currency war. Now, this, in the past, when we were a far greater country, we didn't lose currency wars. We are ill-equipped for a currency war. Our currency is weaker than it has ever been. Forget about what you see on paper. I'm talking about the reality. And it's taking a hit right now, by the way, the U.S. dollar. But there's so much debt behind our money, we don't stand a chance in a currency war. Because even with a devaluated yuan, it's still gold-backed. We're not. And currency wars generally will trigger hyperinflation. Okay? So do your homework, and I'm here for you if you need me. I just want to make that clear. And thank you for the time.
Okay, thank you, Paul. Appreciate that. Okay, we're going to take calls in a minute. First, just real quickly, you know, look at everyone should be saving money in silver and gold. You know, it doesn't make any sense. If you don't have any silver or any gold, you need to be doing that. You also need seed, okay? You need food, okay? And these are the items that we have chosen to sell because these are necessity items. We believe that we have found the best people and the best products, that we truly believe that, available for the best prices. And we do have also silver lungs up here. I think that silver lungs was 3 1/4. It's a little richy, but it's the best silver-making machine out there on the market. It's got a magnetic spinner in it. I don't know of anybody else that has anything like that. You make the best quality, the highest potency of silver. What's that called? Colloidal silver, I think it's called, right, Gerard? And so it makes some of the best. Yeah, you sound like Mickey Mouse again. You got that? You might want to reboot your Skype. But anyway, it makes the best quality, in my opinion, and it makes it pretty quick. It takes about an hour to make a whole jar full, which is goodness, I'm not sure what the beaker size is, but it goes pretty quickly, 45 minutes to an hour. And they also give you some storage jars and different bottles for spray and different applications and dropper bottles and so on. And, of course, you could buy some more. I would suggest that two or three people that live close by, two or three families, share the cost to buy it and make your silver. Store it. It doesn't go bad. You put it in sealed bottles and store it. I bought a lot of mason jars and quart, and I fill those up, and I have them in storage. I give it away to some people I know that appreciate silver, and they have it. But anyway, people need, and if something goes wrong and you have a wound, you definitely need silver because this stuff helps the wound heal very quickly and completely and also kills the bacteria or anything in there. Food independence. You could buy a bucket a month, and you could buy a family bucket, a family of four, one bucket. Again, go out and look at the prices, and you got one bucket that'll fill an entire feed an entire family of four, and you should buy more buckets, a bucket every month. Take your time, do what you got to do, what you can afford, but get it because you're going to need it. The time's coming, and that's what I'm talking about earlier. Whether it's a soft landing or a hard one, if the people are prepared with real money, prepared with food, prepared with ammunition, prepared with the right kind of weaponry, prepared with seed. We have Survival Seed Vault. You can, for $37.95, they sell you a package of seeds that you won't believe what you get. Okay? Seeds. And these are good seeds. Get out there and do what you need to do, and just be prepared for the worst. And this stuff will never go bad on you. And the food, I know over 20 years. It's almost indefinite, I guess. I don't know, but over 20 years. And the time is coming, and you're going to need these things. All right. Let's see. Before we move on, what I'd like to do, I'm going to open up the queue. Okay. Now, first off, we have Rick has been away for a while with Shake and Wake. They've been down. They're back up again. I would like to get Rick into the queue first. I think he's got a question or a comment or something. So I'd like to get him in there and ask his question or make his comment. And then after that, as soon as I see Rick in the queue, I will alert for anybody who has CPS questions. We'll take them in first. If you have a case and you have a question, or you just have a question about the CPS and what's going on, those are the people we want into the queue first. And then after I see that that settles down, I'll then announce for anyone to come into the queue that wants to come into the queue. So, Rick, if you're ready to hit that button there to get into the queue, Let me set it up on Q&A. Rick, into the queue. Rick, from Shake and Wake Radio, into the queue. Don't see him yet. Rick, let me clear the queue. Okay, I only want Rick to get into the queue first. Rick, are you there?
And then CPS after that.
And then CPS after that. But let's get Rick in there first. I'm going to give Rick 5 more seconds. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay, I don't see him yet. Okay, now. Now, CPS, anybody that has CPS questions or comments, those are the people into the queue, no one else. And Rick, if you could still get in there, get in there. Anybody with CPS, I'm going to give you another couple of seconds, maybe 5-10 seconds for CPS. How come we have so many anonymous Jeff from Alaska? You guys must have hit up the anonymous, and there's numerous people coming in under that name. Must put some names in there on those people. Now Q&A is open for anyone. So let's take our first question. I don't see Rick in here, but we'll see if he gets in here. Okay, first question. It looks like Jeff from Alaska. Is that who this is?
This is South Dakota Stephanie.
Okay, how you doing, Stephanie?
Good, how you doing?
Good, thank you.
My question is we were having, I'm an intake person for CPS for the different states, and we were having the affidavits mailed to Gina. And Okay. Do we have an address that we mail those to? And then the other question is, if the ones that already mailed them to Gina, do you have those, or what do we do with those?
No, they have all that paper. They have all the physical paperwork. We will go through with the copies. We do have copies of the affidavits, so we will work with that. If they are going to be honorable and mail to us all those copies, that would be the right thing to do. If they're not going to be honorable, then I don't know what else they're going to do with it. But, you know, it'll happen whatever happens. But we will go forward with the copies. We hope that they gave them the proper direction that when they did the affidavit to make two copies, one they should hold and one they should send to them. So those people should hold the original anyway. But that's what we'll do with that. And if you want to continue with us with the working to take the information from people coming in and calling for the CPS stuff, get a hold of Catherine. She is the intake. You'll find her under IRC, and I think you'll also find her under the CPS. But her name is Catherine. Give a call to Catherine. Let her know that you want to help her. And she'd be more than happy to put you on as part of the staff to work with taking phone calls. Okay?
Oh, beautiful. Thank you. God bless you. I'll do that, and then I'll get the new address to mail those affidavits to and get it out to the people.
Great.
Okay,
thank you very much. Stephanie, right?
Yes.
Okay, thank you, Stephanie.
Thank you. God bless you.
You too. Okay, next caller is a New York number, 845-564-542. Looks like maybe Newburg or somewhere down there. You should have been unmuted. 845-542.
Why are you such an unhonorable liar? Why, John?
Well, I have not said anything that wasn't true. I was very careful in the wording that I had put out in the information to get to the people on what took place. I did make some presumptions. I said that I made these presumptions. I did hear the conversation with Fogbo, and you guys gave them a lot of time. You became destructive at that meeting and did a takeover by not permitting any of the leadership to have access into the system. nor were you willing to, perform the way we needed to perform. We were starting to move to the Monday night call, starting to become active, writing papers, and we had to get real information and correct information to the people. And you were the only group that we permitted to have an actual open forum live. So you had that. I don't know what happened to her, by the way. I did not want to throw her out of the queue.
No, she hung up. She hung up. She did not want a dialogue.
Yeah, I will not run away from any question. I will tell you what. You know, if you want to know if a person is honorable or real, if they're honest, if they're true, just listen to the conversation. Freudian slips will always happen. You know, I speak a lot. I talk a lot. I've been talking for years, and I've been very consistent and persistent. And from time to time, I catch an error. I realize that we make the correction, and we move on. And that would be the only way you would find a contradiction, only because I made a correction. And that, of course, does happen from time to time. But nevertheless, I will not run away from a phone call. I won't screen calls. I will let the people, no matter how angry they are, no matter who they are, I will give them the opportunity to speak, and I will respond. I will give my word. And if I lose my word and I lose my integrity, I lose everything. There's nothing more important in my life, save Christ, than my integrity and my word. When I speak, I expect people to believe, and I will follow up with whatever it is I say. You know, 5 years ago, maybe 6 years ago, I'm trying to remember exactly when, I think it was 2009, we were touring New York State and building up, the committee man process. We had been doing so for quite some time, and we were giving presentations on the committee man and building the process throughout New York State. Down in New York City, I remember where exactly we were in New York City. I remember what it looks like, the place we're in. It looked like caves down in the basements down in New York City in some bar. And we had, right below the bar, they had this place, and it looked like just caves. Really a neat-looking place. And it was down there for the first time that we revealed, and it kind of was off the cuff, but we meant it. We were having problems with the committee men. They were not coming into the system as the power and the authority of the people, and so that we were going to take these to the courts. Now, I didn't know anything about the courts in those days. I didn't know how things worked, but I started to look into it, and we started to study, and we got a hold of a course, which we took a crash course. I did the crash course in 4 days. It's probably a three-month course, but I just went 3 days over the weekend, 3-4 days, and just went through this course and got the gist of the whole thing, and then went back and slowly went through it and built my understanding of how to go into the court. Of course, our first paper, wasn't very well done, but it was a paper. It went in, and we started the process, and we went out to sue. Ultimately, we were going after the commissioners. And to sue them because they were preventing the people from having the power and authority of the committee men, throughout New York State. And it had been hijacked. And we followed through with that. And it took us maybe 3 or 4 months playing in the courts till we finally got some papers that stuck. And we finally were able to start to write, which was some good writing. And as time went on, we started to learn the common law, and we started to utilize that. And it was an uphill battle, and we fought that for quite some time. And then we started fighting a lot of other cases, and then eventually we got into the grand jury thing, which we're doing now. So we had some experience under our belt before we got into this thing with the grand jury. But we performed what we said we would perform. We said we would take it to court, we would sue these people. We didn't win, obviously, because we discovered that the courts are just crooked, and there isn't a good judge out there that I have found. Not to say they're not out there, but I haven't found any yet. But we've learned a lot, and we took it to the next stage. We realized that the committee men was not going to be the way to save America. But we do have to go back and save the committee man process once we do save America. But we can only save America through the grand jury process. And we've been full bore with that. We have performed everything that we said we would perform. We spoke of getting to these days that we would do certain things. We wasn't sure exactly what, because we're still in the school of hard knocks. We're still learning. And as we went on, God was spoon-feeding us, we believe, giving us the certain prerequisitional understanding and reasoning in order to take the next step. And we've accomplished far more better than we thought some of the goals. And we'll continue to grow. We're finding all kinds of new things that we didn't even dream of that we're doing and moving through the system and how we were going to do it. So we are people of our word. We bank on our word. Goodness, if we don't have a word, we have nothing. Okay? If I don't have honor, if I'm not just, and I'm not merciful, and I don't consider all things, then I'm a hypocrite to begin with, and I can't expect the people to be doing those things. I have to be an example, and I expect the leadership of National Liberty Alliance to learn to become examples also and to do the same thing and to live that life. And, you know, you can't really live this life outside your own life. You can't be honorable, just, and merciful and continue under that, if that's what you really want to do, without it affecting your walk in life as an individual, as a person, as one of the people. And so it is a life-changing thing. We can get people to come in and act as jurists with that in mind and keep them focused, and they keep each other in line. And hopefully they'll take that home with them after they serve as their jurist, as a grand jury or a trial jury. Hopefully they'll take that home with them and come and learn more. We will encourage them to come to National Liberty Alliance. We will encourage them to take the civics course, to learn these things, to take control of their lives, and really get involved in maintaining our country, our nations. Because, if the people don't do it, certainly our elected officials won't do it. So, hold me to my word, watch, and time will tell whether I'm a fraud or whether I'm real. And I think I've been doing this long enough for people to have the faith in what we are doing, the leadership here at National Liberty Alliance. Okay, I'm sorry that she left. I would never kick her off or silence her or silence anyone until they get rude, of course. But anyway, next person, it looks like California Fred. You got the mic.
Hey, John, Dr. Fred here in California. How are you?
Hey, how you doing? How's things going? Have you heard anything?
Well, no, we haven't. I was just kind of want to just see if I could get an update from you. All the respondents did not respond, of course, as we expected
right.
They wouldn't. And we're in the second phase now. We're waiting to hear what's everybody's...
What I'd like to do is for you to give me a call, maybe tomorrow during the day or the next day. Let's
yes.
discuss the next move and what we need to be looking for, what we need to be doing now. Okay?
Okay.
And so give me a call tomorrow, and if you can't do it tomorrow, let's do it the next day, but let's...
No, I'll do it for sure. I certainly will do it on tomorrow.
Okay, let me just look at my calendar to see if there's any time restraints for me tomorrow or anything. Tomorrow, let's see, it's the 25th. I'm good. So you should be able to get me pretty much
yeah.
this day.
All right.
Okay,
thank you, John. An encouraging note to you. You know what? Even Jesus was scorned. Even Jesus was spoken badly about. And he had nothing to be spoken bad about. So don't, you're going to have your deathsayers that come out and want to dispute that you're doing something for good. And that's evil. And James says that if we resist the devil, he will flee from us. And the only really way you can resist him is to be full of praise, full of joy, full of glory, because you have a hope that's unspeakable. And faith cometh, we have faith, but faith is a predicate to hope. We have a blessed hope. So don't worry about those folk. And,
absolutely. I appreciate those words, and I appreciate what you're saying, and that is exactly where I go to for comfort and wisdom and understanding. And I've known for a long time. Look, I've been preaching and teaching for a long time. I've been assaulted, and people have said all manner of evil against me in words that, maybe you never even heard before. So I've had this. I've got pretty thick skin. And I know in myself, I know who I am, so it doesn't bother me at all.
There you go.
And I also know that these kind of things cleanse us. It's the dead branches are thrown away. You know, this is God working, in my opinion, anyway. And so I rest in Him. And as the Lord said, if the people are going to do this to a green tree, speaking of Himself and His crucifixion and what they have done to Him, just think what they'll do to a dry. And certainly, compared to Christ, I am a dry tree. And,
there you go.
And so I accept that, and it's par for the course. And it is what it is.
John, one of the main...
John, we have a very long queue.
Yeah, but this is a good call.
This is CTS. I thought we were doing CTS.
Let me just finish. This is also one of the people we did the habeas corpus for, the two individuals in jail for 10 years, and we're trying to get them out. But go ahead, Frank.
One last thing, John, that you have to... God doesn't change our circumstances. He changes us in our circumstances.
Amen.
And you just be the better man for it, okay?
Appreciate that. Thank you.
You're loved and appreciated. God bless you. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Thank you. Talk to you then. All right, we will try to move it along, you know, but sometimes we do get a call that we want to stick with a little longer. But it looks like Tevin, T-E-V-E-N, is that correct? We just unmuted someone here. It looks like Tevin. You should have heard, you've been unmuted. Gary Gerard, is that what you see out? Go ahead. What's your first name? Maybe it's supposed to be Stephen. Yeah, you're coming in broke up, but try one more time. Yeah, your mic is totally. It sounds like you got a bad connection. Anything you're saying, I apologize. Call in on another line, because whatever you're calling in on, it's horrible. We can't understand a word you're saying. We'll have to move on. Try again. We can't understand you at all. We hear breaking up. So try again. I apologize. And if you don't get in tonight, try to get in early. We'll try to get you in early into the queue next week. But try to get back on with another line. Okay, we're going to go to Randall, it looks like, from Georgia, 770 number.
Yeah, John, how are you tonight?
Good, how you doing?
Oh, I'm doing well, thank you. I spoke with Gerard and Gary earlier today.
Mm-hmm.
I was wondering, are they still available?
Oh, yeah, they're both here.
Okay. I tried to get a hold of Catherine. Mm-hmm. I can't get into the IRC. I checked.
Gerard, are you here? Let me see. Ah, you sound like the chipmunk again. You got to reboot your Skype and come back in, and then hopefully you'll take control of the mic. But go
that
reboot.
Might be better, John.
What's that?
Well, I can hear Gary. I can hear Gary fine. It's just a simple question.
Okay, yeah. Go ahead, Randall.
As I was saying, y'all told me to look at the IRC and get a hold of Catherine's number earlier today, and I tried, but I can't get in. It's access denied, and I understand security reasons and all, but I talked to, Veronica again. I called her, and because her number was on the page, and she was on the call with us at the time. She gave me Kathy's number, and I left a message with her. So, well, Kathy, I guess what I'm wanting to know is, will she be able to contact me tomorrow, or...
Yes, and she's Pacific time, so be merciful.
Oh, yeah.
Call her at 8 o'clock
in the
morning.
Is there a way that we can speed...
I'm the most laid-back person you ever find until I get
there
rich.
There you go.
But I don't need drinking wise,
because
I don't
drink. Gary, is
there
a way that we can speed this up, this process?
We actually, John, we're actually doing that.
Okay. All right, we're going to try to work as we can. Again, people have to understand, and I think everybody does, is that... we're being assaulted, and we have to be careful with this group of people that we're working with. And we want everyone into the IRC group. We really do. But we want to know who they are. We want to know that they're accountable. And at this point, we're going to look at it as anybody who comes in to create subversion, we're going to look at it as subversion. Because, look, we're seriously doing work to save this nation. And if you're going to subvert the grand jury or the group of people that are the administrators of the grand jury, because that's what we are, the investigative body, and you're going to work to subvert the work we're doing in order to save this nation, then as far as we're concerned, you're a subverter. And we're going to go out after these people at this point. But we're not going to know who they are until we know that we've got good information on everyone as they come in. And then once they show their colors, we're going to take them into the system.
Well, I'm just trying to get a relative problem straight because I don't know if what happened could actually land me in jail. And
right.
You know, I'm not going to stress the factor over the call. It's not really anybody's business. I've already spoken with Gary and Gerard earlier today, so they're gracious enough to call me and at least show they were paying attention to what I was trying to ask, more or less.
Yeah, Randall, Catherine is Skyping me right now, and she will be calling you tomorrow.
That'd be fine, Gary. That's all I'm really seeking. I'm trying to get answers and help and what have you, and you know my situation briefly now, so I won't go no more into that because more or less it's kind of private.
Okay. Let's take it off the line, and we will do the best we can to, you know, work with you and help you out, okay?
And don't forget,
Don't forget,
she's Pacific time, so don't call
her.
Yes,
sir, uh-huh. Yeah, no, I'm okay. Eastern. She's Pacific.
All right.
Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, Gerard, see if you can pipe in. I thought you still sounded like a chipmunk. Give us some words. Oh, boy. Say it again. Yeah,
what he's saying is that we had talked to this guy earlier, and we are streamlining this guy to work around the little bump in the IRC road.
Okay. All right, but meanwhile, Gerard, you still have to do something. You sound like a chipmunk, you're not, and I'd like to pass the mic over to you. It's a little after 11. So, whatever that was.
I love it.
It needs to be recorded.
Gerard, you know, you might have to reboot your computer. I just don't know what it is, but at least reboot Skype again. But how's he going to run a call? Okay, let me go while Gerard's trying to fix that problem. As soon as you get it fixed, pipe in. Next caller is, looks like David from Missouri, 314.
Brian.
Yes, David.
I talked to you last Monday, and you were going to get back to me on the subject of the sheriff. I asked you about...
Oh, yes, I remember, and I forgot, and I wanted to get... I spoke with the guy that set the list up, and he would know better than I would, so let me make another note. I'm going to write the phone number that you're calling in on. Is that a good number?
Yeah, it's my home number. Let me give you another one. I'll give you my cell number, which is area code 314-732-5734.
Okay, and I got you as David, right?
It is David.
David. Okay, I will pass your name and number to JP is the guy that will give you a call. And I'll see if he has the full list and information of the sheriff so that we can give you what it is that you're looking for, okay?
I appreciate that, and thank you very much, and God bless.
Okay. Thank you. You too.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye. Next caller is an 928 number. You should have heard. You've been unmuted.
Yes, it's James in Kingman, Arizona. How you doing, John?
How you doing, James?
Doing great. Love your program. I'm brand new at this and totally confused. So that's why I'm on the phone.
Well, that's a good place to be. You know, in order to have a conclusion to things and come to understanding, you first have to go through the state of confusion. Anything worthwhile and anything that really that we should be thinking on and looking into, at least for me, that's how it's always been. I've always been confused first, and then eventually, you know, the sun shines. So,
well,
but go ahead. What do you got?
We get this thing streamlined. It's going to be a good whipping machine against the prosecutors that are prosecuting our people.
But absolutely.
I have a case, and it went into IRT with John.
Okay. Right.
And back in August 7th and the 11th, I gave him all my information, everything. And now you're going into the IRC, and I don't see myself in the pending.
Okay, so what you want to do... now, you're talking about a case that you want to get through. What you want to do is give a call to Kathleen, okay? Well, Catherine, I'm sorry, Catherine. You'll find her on the IRC page. The IRC, the IRT is the same. One is team, one is committee. We just moved it over to committee. But you'll find her there on that page, give her a call. If she's not there, leave a message. Give her your name and tell her you're just checking in to see if she's got your file. I know, has Kathleen been in contact with Donald Boxley and John R. to get these list of things?
That's in progress. Gary? We are in progress on that.
Right. So then we'll check to make sure we have the necessary paperwork. I'm sure you have a copy of your paperwork, and if we need it again, send it through. But the important papers we need is the affidavit. If it's a situation where you're pending jail, particularly, we need the docket. If it's something in traffic court and you're pending to jail, because it'll get you there too, or some other code, we need at least a ticket. And then, of course, we need the form filled out, which gives us the information of all the players, the name of the court, the name of the lawyers, the name of the prosecutor.
Okay, that's my question, John. Let me interrupt here. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm getting into this whole thing right in the middle of everything, and John gave me instructions on how everything was going to work, and then now it's changed to the IRC, and I guess John's not going to be doing it anymore, so... Has my
I don't know the status of John R.
John, I can help here.
Okay.
All right. Who am I speaking with?
That's Gary.
This is Gary.
Gary?
Yes. You spoke with Catherine today, right?
Just barely. Yeah, she was on the call with you guys.
And she told you she's working on it, and she will call you tomorrow.
Right. Well, I want to know the procedures. I don't understand your.
You
procedures.
Want to join the training class then? Just click the join button.
I'm already on there, buddy.
Good deal. Then you're in the pipe.
You'll
be going through an approval process on that. And once you get through that, then you'll be in. And there's we've done a lot of lessons already, I think three or four. They've all been recorded. Once you get in, you'll have access to those. They're all MP3s. Mm-hmm. And you'll be able to listen to them and catch up to everything that we're doing. All the paperwork will be there,
the one
file.
The one I can listen to. I've already listened to the other one. But my question is it's not going to the grand jury right now. It's being put back into the IRC. Is that correct?
Need to understand is collectively we are the grand jury, all of us, and we're mm-hmm. operating as the administrators of the grand jury, and that's how we're filing in the court, as the administrators. From time to time, we file in as the grand jury. But basically, we're the administrators of the grand jury with the authority to act on their behalf, and, of course, we are the investigative body. And the IRC was put together for investigation and, which is IRC, investigation and response committee or response team. We just changed from team to committee because it's much more professional,
okay.
I think. That's all.
But here's my confusion.
Those people are being trained to write the papers, and that's what we're doing now is we're training people to write papers. Papers are being in the process of being written.
Okay, so that's when I join the IRC, then that's what the training is going to be about, is to be able to do the habeas corpus for other people as well as myself.
Well, you won't be able to do it for yourself, but you'll be able to do it for other people. Right. We will do it for you, and then you will do it for other people. Because we got to go through the process, and you got to learn the process. But, of course, you could do the petition once you learn it if you did it for yourself, and then we would do the habeas corpus because the grand jury has to do the habeas corpus itself, which is the order of the court to go out to the people and then deal with the default system.
Right, John, the reason this guy is being turned down joining IRC is that he has not taken or registered for the civics course.
Yes,
I would suggest this gentleman go ahead and we can keep processing your paperwork and such. But before you join the IRC, you need to get a good, 40 to 60% into the civics course because you are a stalwart, sovereign warrior, and you're going to have some unlearning to do as well as learning. And I think you're going to enjoy the path that you're now on because it is the path
to freedom.
Oh, I already
have, yes. But in September 14th, I have a jury trial, and they're going to put me in jail for 3 years.
Well, we will get
so what
to
do
the habeas
meantime,
corpus.
Just sit around and wait?
Oh, no, not at all. We're going to go forward with your habeas corpus.
Oh, yeah.
If you fill the papers out, just check it out with Catherine. Make sure that she has it. You know, she knows what she needs, and if she's missing anything, she'll tell you what she needs. You will be put right into the pike. And I would say within the next couple of weeks, we'll be really pumping these out really hardcore. We have, I think we have 8 or 9 people working on this now, so we have 8 or 9 writers, and we're going to move through these very quickly.
Okay. Now, my next question is, how does the habeas corpus work for a foreclosure in a non-judicial state?
Well, there's no such thing as a non-judicial state. They may call themselves that, but they cannot be non-judicial. The justice, which is the court system, is in every state, and particularly we're in the federal courts, because remember, these are federal offenses. When they're coming in under fraud, conspiracy, and denying you your due process. The due process particularly is the key that makes it a federal offense. Therefore, it must be heard in a federal court. So what state are you in?
I'm in Arizona.
Okay, Arizona has a federal district court that runs under the law of the land, which is our Constitution and Bill of Rights.
Well, the best way to explain it is that, look, Arizona might do non-judicial foreclosures as a state, but in the process of doing their non-judicial foreclosure, they're going to violate your unalienable rights of due process. That's what your habeas, that's what you file with the federal court. That's your complaint. That's your complaint. They cannot tell you you can't go into the federal court with a complaint against your unalienable rights because they're a non-judicial. We don't care if they're judicial or non-judicial. We don't care if the sheriff's doing it the bailiff or whoever's doing it. It doesn't matter. So,
the courts aren't involved at all. They're just writing paper and stealing your house.
That's right. But the thing is you're going to send. Whoever's aggrieving you, you're going to send their name. You're going to take them into the federal court. Your complaint's going to go into the federal court that they are violating your unalienable rights, and they have to answer that. And when they don't, they're going to default because they won't. You know what I mean? So I don't care who's taking your house, whatever entity that is, you're going to take them all into that court, every one of them.
Okay.
Individually,
so,
not.
But,
I mean,
but you
know,
see, the habeas corpus is written for a lower court.
No, not at all. Stop. The habeas corpus gets filed in the federal court. It's against the lower court, but it doesn't matter. It's against an action going on in your state. So what it does is we're dealing with courts all the time. But in your case. You're saying there's no court involved. It doesn't matter.
No. But even with the system, he still has to have some place where he gets a default or gets some kind of a signature from a judge, and that's when they're caught, right there. And so in order for them to do a foreclosure, there must be a paper somewhere. They just didn't go through a judicial process.
Right.
Now, I've seen this done. This was done in Long Island, too. It's being done here in New York. It's being done everywhere. But nevertheless, there is a judge whose rear end is on the line on this, and we're going after him for that.
Right.
Yeah, they just send you a notice of foreclosure.
Yeah, that's
30
all.
30 days, they're taking your – so
exactly.
That's what you use.
And that's what we're going up against. And there has
right.
to be a court order for a sheriff to respond to this. So all that has to be in place, even though there was no judicial process and procedure. And that's what you're getting them all on, is the fact that they came out after you in a process called INREM, INREM.
Right.
Which is out at sea, not on the land. So.
Right. Well, I sent the Thursday, I sent the paperwork for the sheriff for the, it was on your website there, the writ of mandamus.
Mm-hmm.
I sent that to the sheriff.
Okay.
Well, good. I mean, so Catherine has his papers. We got writs of habeas corpus coming. And he's joining civics course. And then he's going to join the IRC and help other people too.
Right.
There
right.
you go.
Yeah,
that's the way we got to do it.
Now, what is your first name?
James.
James.
The family of
Thank
Jones.
You.
And I got about 14 of the, modules done in the civic course.
Okay, great. All right.
But what I've been working on is a Title 42 because I want to stop these criminals.
Yeah, well, that's a different thing, and we will work with you on that to some degree in the near future. If you want to approach it yourself, you can. But remember, you got to stay out of their courts, and you got to figure out how to do that. And that's a little bit tough.
Well, that's why I jumped on this, John, is because this is a wonderful system. And the way John explained it to me is you get them into the default on a habeas corpus, and then you can turn around and really nail them with a 42.
Right. That's
but in the meantime, you guys are really bogged down and can't get to me, and the 14th is going to be here in, you know, two
and
a half weeks.
Right, but what you want to do then at that point, the best advice I can give you is you do Article 78, and really, which is a show cause why a judgment shouldn't be taken against them because they've already defaulted. But you got to make sure you write a good wherefore clause and lay that out. Now, the other thing is if you want to do criminal, that's a whole new process again, and that requires an indictment to be brought before the grand jury, which we can't do too much about that yet at the moment, but we will be doing things on that in the near future. With the CPS, we're doing indictments right away. We're not going to wait. And that helps us to leverage ourselves into the courts. But with that, we should be moving on, and we'll be talking again soon. And if you get into the class, you know, I'm going to be giving them for a while and until I can pass the torch.
Okay. Well, I've never done this Article 72. I know how to do a show cause, but I would have to have some help there, somebody to.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. We'll assist you with one side of it and eventually the other side, but a little later on that. Unless you want to do it on your own, then you're welcome to do that. It's your life, your case. So. But with that, I'm going to pass the mantle over to Gerard. You take the next call. You push the button.
You can hear me now, right?
I can hear you. You sound like a real human being now.
Hey, listen, Rick, I know you're out there and you're trying to get in. I don't see your number. Not only do I not see it in the queue, I don't see it anywhere on the console. So unless you're under a VoIP dialer, which doesn't show me the number. So I don't know what the problem is there, Rick, but I'm sorry. I've been looking for a half hour. Anyway, wait a minute. Somebody's calling me here. Let me get that off my screen. Arizona James was just on. I hit the number. Is that who was just there? Okay, next question. The next caller is Cynthia from Massachusetts.
Oh, hi. How you doing?
Good. What's
That's
up to
me? Good. Oh, a couple of things. Sorry that John left, because I was trying to reach him. At some point, I'd like to talk to somebody within NLA to how to access the Article 3 courts under habeas corpus. And, you know, I'm dealing with foreclosure and all of that stuff here in Massachusetts. And I just want to say that I've been dealing with a lot of different issues, you know, DCF issues, you know, CPS issues, family court issues now with foreclosure issues. I mean, it's systemic corruption, okay, that I'm dealing with. And the way the Lord is using me in this, I'm going through these systems, and I'm gathering information, evidence, to inevitably, hopefully things will turn around here in the state. If not, then take it to a federal level. God is using me. I mean, it's torturous. I have to admit it. But I am coming with a Christian-centered, Jesus-centered belief that that even judges, you know, that there are good judges in our system and there's good attorneys somewhere in our system. And it's just a systemic corruption issue, and through prayers, I'm praying that the good will overcome, you know, the evil that's going on in there. Because, you know, I've been learning, I've been so inundated with all of these corruption stuff, and along the way, I'm trying to learn common law. I'm on board with NLA. I believe in my heart and soul that what your purpose and what you're trying to do, I'm there. I'm 100% there. It's taking a long time, you know, and it's really up to the people, as John has mentioned, to, you know, all of us to rise up, you know, to demand, you know, justice in our systems and not do all this.
Let me ask you something. Have you filed any paperwork through NLA as far as, like, your CPS problems and that type of thing? Are we working on anything?
Let me mention about that, CPS. I was really gung-ho initially, and I, you know, talked to Sheila and, you know, the group. I don't know what's going on with this division right now, because I've been dealing with my foreclosure. And I expressed to John, and I really want to hash it out. I don't, you know, CPS in my situation is one entry point into my problems, you know, my legal corruption problems. And it's a very prime facie issue that I feel confident I can overcome in the right context.
Well, the only reason I'm asking is it depends on what level of expediency that you need. Like, if you've got time and you can take the time to do that, that's fine. But, I mean, if you're trying to get somebody out that they have, you want to do that as quick as you can, unless it's an old case and you're just going in to get justice. Look at there. Thornton says, "Do you want to fight or do you want to win?" There's certain things you can do to make it shorter, especially if there's people's lives in the balance. So you should know about that, and you should use NLA to expedite that. And the reason that I say that is, even if you know how to write this stuff and you go in on your own, I believe that, like, especially in a child case or a habeas corpus where you're trying to get somebody out of jail, you're going to have a lot more luck going through from the perspective of the grand jury. Look, if they don't respect us, they at least fear us. And we're coming in as the grand jury in every state. And believe me, that makes those judges on the federal level think.
Now,
if you're coming in on your own, and look, you can stay in the state courts and you can fight them. But you're down in the, you're down in the trenches. You're down in the dirt, blood, the mud. You know what I mean? You got to have lots of Band-Aids, and you could prevail there. And as long as you don't have something like you're going to lose your house, or you're going to go to jail, or you need to get somebody out of jail, then again, God, bravo to you. You know what I mean? But if you're at a point where you have to win, you should take some help.
Well,
but you can always go back later and get the restitution later.
You know, I'm part of a movement, and my heart is with NLA. The CPS thing, fraud is fraud, you know, so it doesn't matter when it happened, it's still fraud, you know what I mean? So it that's in the past, but the consequences are going on today.
And listen, so if you're with a movement besides NLA, that's not a...
I'm in the movement for Jesus. That's what I'm in the movement.
Oh, I got you. Because look at they know when you come in with help, there are other movements out there, parents that have gotten together against CPS.
Yeah.
And guess what? There's safety in numbers. They're always going to treat you more careful if they know you're a serious person doing serious stuff.
I am with NLA in terms of your spirit and what you want to accomplish. And everywhere I go, I do mention NLA. I mean, I'm a member. I'm a paid member. With that in mind, I would like to, in the near future, talk to somebody within NLA, because I have some criminal foolishness conviction that is, I mean, you'll laugh if you hear that story. So I'm dealing with that too. But my main issue right now is the foreclosure thing. Now, here in Massachusetts, I got on board with an organization of, you know, litigants, pro se litigants like myself, and we are challenging these non-judicial foreclosures. And the reason I entered into this is because, you know, I'm just not really versed, I'll be honest with you, not many people are versed in common law and how to enter the courts that way. So I'm caught up in this whole statutory thing in my foreclosure. However, with the assistance I'm getting behind the scenes and so on and so forth, we are working within Massachusetts law through discovery, and I'm collecting evidence. I'm collecting evidence of what went on behind the scenes of my fraud foreclosure. And so I'm pressing through prayers. I'm pressing and praying for the judges and the court officers in this courthouse to do the right thing, because through my circumstance, I'm finding I've got the most evidence than anybody in Massachusetts. You know, that this is going to help other people. So it's not only for myself, it's for other people. And I've decided to, you know, this is the role Jesus has me in right now. So with that in mind, I just really want to connect with NLA on how to access. I just want to say Massachusetts has really good property laws that goes all the way back to a colonial era. So, you know, we're relying on that, too. So with that in mind, the issue with CPS, I just, like, resolved, and it's in the back burner, is I don't feel comfortable giving any power of attorney to anybody. You know,
that's not your main thing now anyway.
That's not my main thing. But, you know, the other day there was last week, and I'm an advocate. I'm a MSW clinical social worker, trained, well experienced. And so last week there was a death of a 2-year-old child in a foster home. And that's currently being investigated, you know. But, you know, that's just the one out of many stories across the country that's happening to our children.
Yeah, it's very horrible. I want to move on because we've got a lot of people. And I just want to say one thing about...
Okay, one more issue I want to address, bring up to your attention.
Uh-huh.
Part of my foreclosure with this organization that we're doing a lot of advocacy, we're going to the state house and we're lobbying certain bills and so on and so forth. I feel that we were able to put on hold because it's unconstitutional, both statewide and with the U.S. Constitution as well. It's coming up potentially in September for a vote. So I'm just wondering if there's anybody in NLA who is constitutionally trained, particularly, you know, with the U.S. Constitution, but also understand Massachusetts Constitution, if they can provide consultation. Because what put this whole potential bill on hold was the fact that it is unconstitutional statewide. You know, So I'm just wondering if there's anybody. I emailed somebody in NLA and they had no idea. I'm just wondering, you know, until NLA gets up and running and we're feared and moving and kicking butt all over the place, there needs to be something for people in the meantime. So, and that is the spirit of why I've been going down to the State House, trying to defeat these unconstitutional bills that these bankers are pushing through Congress.
The housing thing is a big issue, and when you get a lot of evidence like that, what I've noticed over here in the Northeast especially, but in other places, even in California and that they have put some federal prosecutors in there investigating. And they realize that the people are starting to wake up, and it's looking bad for the guys who are supposed to be watching this. So now what they're doing is they are coming out, and they are arresting people, and they are arresting judges, because it's gotten so bad that they can't ignore it. So you may get lucky here at some point, especially if you have a good case going. They may give you relief just to get you the heck out of there, and because you know, look, at they're trying to plug the holes as best they can. And part
well,
of that could be getting rid of their worst
don't.
Cases.
Right. If they don't, because Jesus is ahead of this whole
right,
situation.
Right. And we do have a guy in Massachusetts. As a matter of fact, I'm going to call around a little bit. We got a guy that's real good. And he's like, he was an attorney and he was with us. And of course, he was impatient and he does a lot of stuff. He does a lot of outside the the fiction, and I forget what his name is. He was the leader up there for a while. I think it was Massachusetts, but it might be New Hampshire, or maybe he was in New Hampshire and he was doing Massachusetts.
Yeah.
But he's
yeah.
very knowledgeable in the courts, and I'll see if I can't dig his name out and get it, and you can talk to him because he knows
Please.
About what's going on in those states. Yeah. So I'll try to do that. I'm gonna go ahead to Laura though. She's been waiting patiently. And I have your number here. I guess I can reach you at that 0242 number, right?
Yes. Yes, you can. Thank you so much.
Okay.
God bless.
We'll see you later. Yeah. Thank you, Cynthia. Okay, Laura.
Hi, John and Gerard.
Hey, how's it going?
Yeah, listen, I have a few questions, and one is, I guess I got a new question when you started to mention that I think it sounds like John Rowe has kind of, he is not doing it.
Right, right.
Is he not doing it?
No, he's not, no.
Okay, so he got overwhelmed?
No, he was just, there was other things he was doing that was not in line with what we were doing with the UCC and stuff. And so we had to take him out because, you know, we don't want people filing UCC stuff. We don't do that. There's a problem with that. So, it, you know, you're sending mixed messages. So
okay,
part
so
of this thing is to...
Is somebody in his place?
Yes, there's there, we still have the IRC team doing what he was doing. And well, you were in what? What were you doing?
Yeah, Catherine. Go to Catherine on the IRC page. We changed
IRC,
it from IRT
right.
to IRC, and
right.
look for Catherine. She's written up as intake. Give her a call.
Right.
And well, I think we'll be getting other intakers too. There's other people that are going to be helping her out, but right now, I think she's the only one up there at the moment.
Okay. So the other question is. There's this live affidavit, David, to the Common Law Citizens Grand Jury Headquarters and John Durash from Judge Anna Von Ritt. And have you known about that?
Yeah, John, that's the one where she
proposes what is
a
it?
Really nice story and then does suggest sedition. She wants us to set up our own sheriff's. Our own courts, our own judges, everything.
Right. We're not going to get, you know, look, at. She tried to bring a partnership to some degree through us, and she was coming out actually around the corner from another door, and then she confused us and did some other things. But look, at, I don't even know if she's a real person. I don't know nothing about
we
her.
We can't find her.
We do know that she wrote a paper. It was a very good paper. She claimed to have been a judge from Alaska, and she claimed to have filed these papers. We quoted her in one of our papers, and that's where we sit. But we're not connected with her. There are lots of groups that want to connect with us, but the only thing we can offer to them is to tell their members to come join to become and do the work of the people. We're not that kind of an organization that we just pull membership in with other. We're doing something so special and so different, and our intention is for the people to become empowered to go do the work in their counties, and we'll just be here for advisors as time goes on, but we'll also be here for educating the new people who will be taking the places of other people as they retire or leave for whatever reason, maybe even people who may pass away or whatever. You know, we'll always be filling the voids in the counties for administrators.
You know, the thing that Anna doesn't realize is we're doing exactly what she wants to do, but we're doing it in a way that they can't say that we're doing sedition. You see,
right.
when they come out and they go, you're going to arrest judges? And we go, no, you are. When we talk to the Treasury Department, when we talk to the FBI, they go, are you going to put liens and arrest judges? We say, no, we're going to have you arrest them. And they look at us, and we said, and then if you don't, we're going to indict you and the next guy. Now we have sheriffs that are willing to arrest these people. So you see, we don't need to create our own army and our own sheriffs and all this stuff. We're using education and pressure of the process to do it. Look, we're putting papers in that they have to answer. We're using the same process. Look, it's our process. It's the process that they use against us, and it's the process that we can use against them. They have to answer. They have no choice. They know they have to answer. And then when they default, they're defaulted. We have Supreme Court decisions that say when the government defaults, it's worse than when the people default because they're supposed to be an example. So if the government can't behave the law, why would the people behave the law? So we have all this stuff in our background. They just don't see us lining up militias and guns. Everybody's ticked off, and they want action now. And they don't realize how much action that we're really getting because it's kind of like it's very low. You ever watch Columbo? You know, like yeah. You go, and then he goes, and then he says, "Well, by the way, just when they thought they had him, that's us. We're doing the Columbo thing. We're not in there. We're not in there. We're not Wilford Puffer with the baseball bat beating them. We're the Columbo, and that's what we're going to do. Okay.
Okay. So
that's
so
my. Go ahead.
So I just wanted to say what I read here is it's a post, this live affidavit to us or to John or whatever. It doesn't make when I read it, it's because she's not listening to our calls. She's not, you know, really involved with us, so she doesn't know what she's doing when she writes this paper.
Well, that was kind of just, that's what we look at when we vet, when somebody writes to us and asks to talk to us, that's what we do. We go look at what they're saying. Look, you can tell right away when people talk how much they know about what you're doing. You know what I mean?
Right,
she's kind of guessing, and she may be listening to what other people are saying. And people kind of get lazy. You know, they're probably interested in us because we are a big organization. We are nationwide. We have some really good papers filed in all the federal court. I mean, we've already made history on so many different fronts. You know what I mean? How many people have filed in every single federal court as a group of people? How can they tell us that they're not going to listen to us? I mean, it's like, think about it. The people come together, they file paper in every district court, and you're going to sit there and tell me that the people don't have the authority to do that? I mean, now what you're asking for when you say that, you are asking for the militia. But you know what I'm saying? I mean, that's very arrogant. And look at what we're doing is we're putting them in a horn dilemma. They're going to either have to say, "Well, we're not American, and we're not under the Constitution." And we say, "Well, guess what? Put your hands up. You're under arrest." You know what I mean? So that's what we're doing to them. We're bringing them into a horn dilemma. They can't answer the questions. But look, at our questions are all documented. They're all part of the record, which I'm sure they hate that. The reason that you look at, they taught us to be this way. We became this way because they taught us this. When they pulled our papers out and sent them back and made them disappear and all this other stuff, and we said, look, we know what they're going to do. They're going to pull our papers out. Okay, so what are we going to do? So we're going to file them in all 90-something courts. You know what? A conspiracy only works well when you have a couple of people in it. If you got to go across the nation, well, I forget who said it. It was probably like Jefferson or Benjamin Franklin. He said, "A secret can be kept by three if two of them are dead." And it's the same thing with a conspiracy. So, you see, we put this thing across the nation in all the courts. It's documented on our website. God bless the Internet. God bless the fact that we have all this information that we can put down and people can tap into it. They love it, too, because they love to spy on us. But what they don't realize is we love it as much as they love it. And we're going to use it just like they're using it, only we're going to use it for godly purposes. God can take anything and use it to his purpose. And all it is a tool. And so, look, he put it here for us to use. And if we don't use it and we don't gain the upper hand by using it, then shame on us. You know, we have a job to do, and that's what we're doing. And we're not shying away from anything.
Gerard, by the way, you got some kind of a beeping going on in your Microsoft.
Oh, you know what that is?
I thought I was crazy.
Yeah, that was making me crazy, too. Anyway,
rope, and we're heading to your house, Gerard.
I
have one more issue.
By the computer, and it's probably, maybe that's what's screwing my whole system up. See, it's Uncle Sam coming through my cell phone. Hang on.
Anyway, I have one more
issue,
and that's the FDA. I just got word yesterday, a friend of mine went to a big convention of our health company, and it was huge, but the speakers were gagged so bad that they couldn't say anything, and all the training materials that go with the products, they couldn't even set up convention rooms that had the material in them anymore. They had to set them up in some hotel that you had to take a bus to, and nobody could say anything at this big, huge thing. I mean, it was crazy. We're not able to say what they do or anything, and I am, like, really ready to write writs, and I want to go after the FDA at this point.
Yeah, well, they're in trouble, and they know they're in trouble because, look at they've been killing doctors that have been curing cancer and discovered the protein.
Remember, I would like to say something that's very important to come in at this point. We got to be careful. You know, there are a lot of things we all want to do, but we have to do it in time. And so before anybody goes out and does anything with the paperwork we're teaching them, part of the thing you have to realize is we have to work together. And then when you start going off on your own, it's only because we've acknowledged that you have done enough studying, we believe that you're ready to do it, and then you got to work with the people in your county. If you're going to do something that we're going to give you blessings for, only because, and the blessings we're giving you is only because we believe in you now that you can do it. And people shouldn't do it until, you know, they get that blessing. Sort of, we're going to give certificates, actually, at some point. So we'll create a certificate. And then that means that you really are qualified to do it, and then we'll always be here for assistance. But until we get into power and authority, everything is being going through the unified United States Common Law Grand Jury, because united we stand and divided we shall fall. So we have to be united, and we got to come in as one. And once we're in the system, you know, everybody that moves into the counties, they got paper that the papers they're going to have to be filing and different things, and we're going to give as much help and teach as fast as we can. But remember, in the beginning, it might be a little slow because people have to learn. They have to be able to write, and we're going to have to be able to write on behalf of the grand juries. Right now, everything that comes out of the grand jury is written by the prosecutor, and it's all written in legalese, and it's all statutes and all that stuff. We have to write now for the grand jury, and we have to make sure we're given the will. We are writing down the will of the grand jury. So we have to be very careful to take their language, write it down, and then put the necessary information around that to give it the professional, also the legal tone to it, and then give it back to them and make sure that we are representing their will when we file the papers into the courts. And that gets to the point of even having to explain the meanings of certain things. And again, that's why we do footnotes. We're training everybody. We're training the judges. We're teaching the judges. We're training the lawyers. We're teaching the lawyers. We're training the people. We're teaching the people. You know, we're showing them how it's done and what these things mean. And this we learned from Thornton. Thornton says, be an educator. Educate the judge. Educate everyone, because they're ignorant to it. So educate them the way it's supposed to be. And that's what we've picked up on and we're doing. And it's part of the process. But we have to work together, and we have to acknowledge. As a matter of fact, we're going to require this is something we need to get into motion very quickly, Gary, and that is get the vow going and making sure that everybody coming in is going to write a vow, and they're not going to go off half-cocked doing crazy things that's going to injure what we're doing, because the people who have left National Liberty Alliance is out there doing things that is going to injure us. There are actually people using our seals out there. That's injuring us, and they have betrayed us. And they've taken a well-thought-out plan, and they just went off half-cocked and never saw the whole thing, and they're on an ego trip or something. So we want to be careful that this doesn't happen, because we're going to hold people to the fire who now take off on us and do these kind of things. And the way we can solve this is make sure they take a vow, and that vow is to God. We're going to write that up and get that going to all the IRC. But anyway, I better get off the mic because we're running out of time, so I'll let you guys talk.
Yeah, we
got to
get moving here.
One other thing was about the, protecting certain health companies from being raided by SWAT teams, and have, you know, the sheriffs and the militia protect those companies from that happening.
Well, let me tell you something. First of all, if your sheriff's on board, the SWAT teams won't come in because he can hold them off himself. If they know there's a good sheriff in that county and he puts it out, they won't violate that. They don't want to start World War. You know, they don't want to start the Civil War just yet. The other thing is like John says, is look at when we get established in the courts, the AMA is finished. They're like a booger on your finger and you're flicking them, ping, because they will not hold up to a common law grand jury. They're going to lose. That's true. They're into manipulating everybody, paying everybody off. All the AMA is guys who are on the CEOs of the medical of the corporations that make these medicines, and they take a couple year sabbatical and they get on the AMA. That's all they are, and they're writing laws with conflicts of interest because they own the companies. I mean, right. It's ridiculous. We need to get rid of the AMA. The AMA needs to go bye-bye. The best thing we could do to save lives is get rid of the AMA.
And
you know
the FDA.
I mean? And the FDA and all the other ABC alphabet soups. But listen, they're going to go away really quickly when we get seated in the courts. You won't have to do as much work as you think you're going to because the first court we get into, believe me, they're going to start packing their bags. They're going to be running to Argentina and any other place that they think they can get to.
Good. Okay.
All right.
Well, thank you so much. That helped a lot because, I guess I've just been getting overly.
Listen, the writing is on the wall. The writing is on the wall. You know the writing on the wall? That's when the hand went up and he interpreted the dream there. That's where that comes from, where the hand of God wrote the letters and the king wanted Joseph to.
Yeah, that's in Daniel.
There, Daniel, not Joseph. Excuse me. Thank you, John. That's where that saying comes from. The writing is on the wall because that's what happened. The hand wrote on the wall.
And your days are numbered.
Right, your days are numbered. So I'll bet you some of these AMA guys are waking up in the morning and there's some weird scribbling
on
their wall.
We're going to end with that song tonight, by the way. Days are numbered by Alan Parsons. But
there you go.
I had to throw that in.
Right, listen, I'm going to go on because I know we got people
that are
just chomping. Thanks. Appreciate it. Thank you, Laura.
Yeah, just so you know, you got 5 minutes.
No, okay, well, Connecticut Ed, go ahead. You got a minute.
I know, Gerard. Yeah, how you doing? Yeah, a few minutes left. So I'll yield to someone else because I know you got people there. So God bless.
Okay, thank you, Ed. We appreciate it. Lily, you are unmuted. Well, you should be unmuted. Hello? Did I lose everybody? Hello? Hello?
Yeah, I'm still here.
No, but PJ in Hawaii is the next caller, so this may be interesting.
Well, I don't know. Mine says Lily is unmuted.
Well, Lily is unmuted, but PJ is next.
Oh, okay. So is Lily there? Going once? Going twice?
Gone.
Okay. Gone. Next question.
Hey, this is the court watcher from Hawaii. Aloha.
Hey, how you
Aloha.
Doing?
I'm doing wonderful. 1 minute, huh? I have a habeas corpus adjuciendum. It is up on the court watcher. Click on habeas corpus adjuciendum if you would like to have it for CPS.
Okay, it's up on our court watcher thing?
No, it's on your court watcher.
Oh, it's on your site, the court watcher. I'm sorry. That's right. That's your site. I forgot.
Yeah, I put a link up on the National Liberty Alliance groups.
Mm-hmm.
And I've also put it on the Facebook group. So have at. It's very simple. Change the social records names into the real social records. Mm-hmm. Put in your name. Sign the bottom. Makes it easy.
We'll take a look at it.
Great. Yep.
Okay. Thank you. It's always good to hear from you.
Even if she is in beautiful weather, then we're not.
Yeah,
you know.
Right.
It flooded last night, so you guys can feel
Oh, good. Better. Good. I'm glad to hear that.
Oh, good. Yeah. You're terrible.
Hawaii is paradise, man.
Yeah, well.
Molokai. Yeah. Oh, you would love Molokai. It's so beautiful here.
You think you're
it's
helping
like
yourself
a gem.
Here?
If our earth had a belly button, it would be with this gem in it.
You bet.
Yeah. Okay, there you go.
That would be the navel ring of you know, there we go.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank
you. 2 minutes.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. I'm going to go to
We've
Gary.
We've been working on a lot of CPS issues. We have a family whose the mom is Alicia Kingman in Sonoma County, and they forced her out of the car, put her under arrest for resisting arrest, for refusing to get out of the car. And then they took the baby by force out of her body. She was not in labor. There was no reason to take this baby except for CPS wanted it.
Wow.
Oh, my God. So that was harvesting.
She is in jail right now. She had the baby on Friday night. And we've been trying to get everybody to do something about it. But she's also very afraid. They've already beat the crap out of her in jail.
Where is she?
Sonoma County.
Sonoma County, okay.
Is that California?
Yes.
All right.
Wine country. They steal babies left and right there. I would never suggest anybody go to Sonoma County and have a baby.
If they're stealing them right out of the mother's belly, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, that's the worst I've ever had.
She's lucky she probably survived.
Yep.
And they pulled her over for what, a traffic infraction?
No, her friends had taken her to the hospital. I think she'd said something about, I don't want to have this baby at the hospital. You know, if I go into labor, I'm going to stay put kind of thing. And they freaked out. She was in labor and took her to the hospital. And she was like, I'm not in labor. Let me go home. They said no. And they forced her out.
They didn't want to have a home birth.
Wow.
Right.
So
even though she wasn't, in labor.
Yeah, this.
So the baby is in ICU because it was born premature, of course.
Oh my God.
I think that's an indictment. I think we need to get collectively all the individuals.
Yeah, sounds like a good one, PJ.
Yes, you should get together with us. We should talk about this, and we should do an indictment.
Does she have a husband, or is she like a single mom?
Single mom, of course.
Yeah, because if that was my wife, there would be dead people around.
Oh, yeah.
I would use deadly force to stop that because I'm allowed to. Look at anybody that thinks, look at those cops that pulled her out of the car. And what do they got a contract with CPS? Oh,
yes.
You know what I'm saying? You mean to tell me they didn't know what they were doing?
Yeah, they're looking for free room and board, and we should give it to them. But
yeah, this is bad stuff. Bad stuff.
So,
anyway, you're not helping.
Get in touch with us. Let's look into this case and work on this together. We need to do something about this.
Yeah, this is really bad. She does need people to call it.
And they refused to do the hearing today, the 72-hour hearing. They were required to by law.
We're going after all of it. We need to get the judge more. We need to get affidavits on this. Give us a call. We'll talk.
She does need court watchers. She should not be scared. Look, they beat the shit out of her when nobody was watching.
My adopted daughter in Sonoma County. She's more than willing to do all the footwork and all the paperwork. I just sent her a $100 laser printer on the 1st of July. This woman is willing, waiting, and she just needs other people to join her, and we need the proper information,
right.
And we are ready to rock and roll.
Look, we need the numbers of the courts. We need the prosecutor. We need the number of the CPS. We need all the names and numbers because
the arresting officer. We want the whole works.
Right. Everybody that's involved in this, we should be calling, and we should be calling them out. They gotta be afraid to move around. If you know, we're gonna do it. We should do a nationwide call out on this because even though we're here, we can still have.
I've got the phone number for CPS's fax machine in Sonoma County.
Okay.
Hang on, let me pull it back up. Child Protective.
Okay, what you want to do is give a call and get a hold of one of us over at the IRC.
I'll tell you why. Right, you got to get all this information right.
Yeah, and get it to them, and we'll take a formal information from you. We'll look towards it, getting affidavits. We'll make a plan. Let's get this done ASAP.
Yeah, we'll actually post the court watcher call outs when it's time. We'll put all the information and who to ask for, who to call, what to say, maybe a little skit for them to say if they don't feel comfortable saying.
Well,
something.
What I want is, and what has been successful for me before as the court watcher, is putting in the fired notices through the fax machines over at CPS. And if you've got any friends who are in other countries who are willing to fax, I would dearly love that because that's what's needed. I'm going to ask my friend John Astor to also fax. This is the only way we're going to get this baby back out of this very, very horrible Bohemian Grove.
Oh, yeah.
Child snatching. Yeah.
So, Bohemian Grove. We got, I'm going to move to the next person there.
No, there is no more next person. We're done. We're 4 minutes over, and we're going to close down. And look at those who are left in the queue. We'll call for you next week as to come in first into the queue, and we'll take your questions and comments then. With that, we're going to end it for the evening. Thanks, everybody, for showing up. Again, we'll see you next Monday. Also, there's a special meeting tomorrow. Don't forget, if you can make it, for the CPS to see where we're at, what we're doing, and give some more information. And also, we got a lot of work to do. We need a lot of people. Let's get out there. Let's save America. As Jim Condit says, everybody into the battle.
Right.
Okay, good night. Thanks, everyone,
good night.
Again.
Good night.
God bless. Appreciate it. So,
yeah.
Their days are numbered.